After testing your might all weekend at gaming cons for the last 4 years, Jeff Shapes and Beats finally releases for Nintendo Switch and PC. The Mortal Kombat theme song is now playing in your head. This is just one game and a full week of news. Stay tuned for the rest, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio live tonight on June the 3rd of 2018, episode number 733 of our show. That's right. June is underway. It's a big month. Happy Pride Month, folks. Happy me turning 40 at the end of this month. Happy OLR's birthday month. June is a very busy month, isn't it, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers over there with the mic?
Yeah, it is.
How are you?
I'm tired.
You tired?
Yeah.
Well, wake up, girl. We got 3 hours to fill.
I got woke up. Somebody shook my ass out of bed and said, we gotta go to Placerville.
Ew. Why does anybody want to go to Placerville willingly?
Placerville's pretty, though.
No, there's some cool things up there.
Wasn't
that the one they used to call Hangtown?
I don't know. I'm not from your country.
I think it was back in the day. Anyway. I hope you're doing well. Let's also check in with Techmaster Loki.
Also the VOG Network birthday.
That's right. VOG Network was also born in June. Thank you for the reminder. We kind of passed it. It was June 1st. But yes, celebrating 6 years here at the Voice Geeks Network. So a big toast to not only, of course, Bobby Blackwolf, who's on before us every Sunday night, because we do tape live at the Voice Geeks Network every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific and 9 o'clock Eastern, right after said Bobby Blackwolf show. Not only just a big toast to him, but all of the contributors to the different shows from our network, you know, all the way from the people that have been with us from the very, very beginning, shows like, you know, Critical Myth, Pod Culture, Electric Sisterhood, all the way up to shows like our newest addition to the network, Far Away Nearby. So a toast to everybody who's been participating with the Voice Geeks Network and all our big shows. You can check out more information on all the shows here at vognetwork.com. Great plug, Loki.
Speaking
of plugs, I see you've plugged your Switch into your computer to keep it running, charged, or whatever.
Yes, because my kids were playing with it all day long, and I haven't gotten a chance to really play around with it.
I see. Does that work okay, like charging it through your laptop, and then your laptop is in the wall? Does that give it enough of a charge to keep going?
It's apparently working.
All right, good to know.
A couple percent higher than it was.
But sadly, hooking that into your laptop will not allow you to suddenly get in there and grab all the files, right?
No, yeah. I have to have a mod ship that'll be coming in a couple weeks to do that.
Of course. I knew there was something with that. All right, fair enough. Also say hello. We have a guest in studio tonight, and it's been a little while since we've had a fourth chair, but I think it's great that we're welcoming him back. You guys actually hear this guy every week on OLR, but you may not have heard him here in studio for, God, it's probably been a couple years. Welcome back, Jason.
You're going to get to hear me for a lot more than 13 seconds tonight.
That's right. And you have that down. You know exactly your window that you get. One of these days, though, we're going to change the intro on you, and I'm hoping to give you something. Well, what I'm hoping is that in whatever future intro we use, it'll be a loop. So if you need more time, you can extend the loop.
Right.
If there's less time, you can just delete the loop. So,
which means that we'll see. Get to actually do all of the audio editing in the process. But yes.
Doesn't that sound fun?
It's a great idea, because sometimes, you know, I just want to sit back and say, on June 2nd of 2018, when the Sacramento weather finally hit 100 degrees, the scorching sun above and the hot rods in the parking lot led us to a discussion about the... anyways.
On the seventh day, Microsoft said, let there be GitHub.
Nice.
All right, well, anyway. That little current news going on there. So our chat room's lighting up over at live.vognetwork.com. SSJ saying welcome back to the studio, and Eric RPG saying press X to Jason, which I'm sure you've never heard before.
I have a shirt that says that.
Jason.
And
Jason.
Shockingly, nobody has actually used the reference against me.
Okay.
So
until
I
now.
Haven't actually heard it plenty. So thank you.
So, Jason, I know, obviously, you know, if I don't say this enough on the show, like, this show wouldn't, like, fucking exist right now if it wasn't for you. Like, I hope folks realize that.
I'm just kind of awesome.
Hold on, though. We're going to keep that ego check. No. But you do a ton behind the scenes. You do. Like, the orangelaundry.com website, even though, yes, it's old, and we've talked about that. The fact that, you know, we have a podcast-generating custom thing, a place to host the shows and everything, that's all because of you, as well as the audio intros and outros that you do every week. So big thanks to that. What else are you doing in gaming these days in the past couple of years? I know, like, you do a lot with at least, like, watching Twitch and supporting Twitch. Like, you were the one that made me go to TwitchCon and finally kind of, like, sell me on this concept of broadcasting games for people to watch that now, like, 2 years later, I'm actually, like, doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The TwitchCon was only 2 hours away from you at the start. It's like, it's practically your backyard, Rob. Come on. It's just Moscone.
Exactly.
It's not like traffic is
god awful. I have to get in the car. I have to pay a toll to get over the bridge.
$5 over the pretty water. unfortunately, like, gaming, what is most relevant and most interesting is that the Colorado chapter of the IGDA, when the Twitch Colorado group formed, the folks at CIGDA, Colorado Independent Game Developer Association, attended the first meetup, and so there's been a strengthening of the gaming and geek tech nerd communities by nature of getting together. So I've actually been paying the returning the favor in kind and attending some of the CIGDA hangouts. And I'm not a game developer myself, and everybody there asks, what are you working on? Well, I'm not a game developer myself. I consider myself more of a kind of a integrator, maybe web service at best kind of person.
Yeah.
But I am gaming adjacent, and I would love to be able to see the things that exist in my backyard back in Colorado that I didn't know about.
And I think here locally with Sacramento, even though now we have the Sacramento Game Developers Collective, which is very similar in concept to IGDA and all that, one thing I've kind of learned with working with them is that there is a lot more in game development than just necessarily knowing how to program games.
Right.
For example, I know, like, you know, and I'll just, I don't think I'm saying anything that's like a big secret, but like when Bree was here from that group and they were talking about the SAC Indie Arcade, which sadly it didn't happen this year, you guys, but we're really hoping it's going to be back next year. But Bree was on the show before and she kind of admitted she didn't really like super get into games until she started getting involved with this. But when it came to like promotion, when it came to like how to get in touch with the media and how to get your game like exposed and all that, like the business side of things, yep, that sometimes people doing the programming don't always think about, like she was like rock solid on that stuff. That was a huge strength for her because she had worked with the radio background and all that. So my point with that and bringing up, you know, former guests on the show is that it does remind us that like, oh yeah, there is a lot more in the game industry besides just programmers getting in there making the game.
Yep.
Because then the question is, well, where's your music going to come from?
Yep.
Where's your voiceovers going to come from, Jason? Yep. Where's your voice of God going to come from?
Nobody's poached me yet, but
no, nobody yet.
Holding out hope.
I bet.
Yeah,
they will.
Absolutely. Like any production, like any art form, like any anything. It's not just the programmers. It is also the artists, both in the visual and the acoustic, and any other sense. It absolutely is promotion, dissemination. There is a certain distribution and marketing website of indie games that goes by the name Game Jolt. The owners are nomads, but they currently reside in Colorado, and so I've actually
as a lot of nomads do.
only for their 14K, and then they move on to something
else.
They move on to the next mountain peak.
I see.
But
I just thought it was the legalization of a certain substance that brought a lot of nomads there, and then wait, they got it in California now too.
The entire coast just start in SoCal, swim all the way up, and no matter where you land, it's green.
Or as Raginator in our chat room asks, Sega nomads.
That won't even get you to the next city.
That is like the second funny joke Raginator said in our chat room in like this year. Congratulations, buddy.
Also, I tripped over ours, literally.
It is a brick.
It hurts when it falls on your foot, just saying.
All right. So anyway, where were we? Oh, yes. So the moral of the story is I bet these companies like, you know, these organizations like Colorado IGDA, you know, and any game developer in your city where you live, you know, if you've been wanting to get involved with game development, like they actually probably want more people that aren't just programmers. I mean, if that's something you want to do, cool. But like, you know, if you are a music guy, if you're an art person, if you're a marketing person, if you're a website creator, I mean, all these things go into how to get a game out.
And even if there's no digital aspect to it, CIGDA's holiday party at the end of last year had a had a tabletop.
I'm sorry, but every time you say that name, I think of health insurance. I'm like, wait, Cigna, what the fuck do they have to do with anything?
Duh.
Sorry.
Duh. I'll say duh.
There you go. Right.
The holiday party had a tabletop board and card game creator. And like Logic, even if you're not a programmer yourself, your ability to create design rules is just as important for balancing, for fairness, or for even tipping the scales and knowing how to make something demonstrably significantly hard. So it's a production. Like it's not as literal as when my very first job was working for a newspaper. Whenever I would tell someone that, oh, you're a writer, no, oh, you edit, no, I fix the computers of the people that do.
Well, yeah, and it's important.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. For sure. No, that's your, when you see these companies, like if you were to go to like Blizzard's website, they're always hiring for people, right? So you could see like what kind of roles is Blizzard trying to fill right now. They're always going to have somebody that's like a project manager.
Yep.
And like, what does that person have to do? Basically corral all the cats, you know, and make sure that the project manager will be responsible for making sure that the game actually comes out when they say it's going to come out.
That is organization, like proper organization of people and tasks
is huge.
Is an incredible skill.
For sure. Anyway. Great chat. Well, welcome back to the show, Jason.
Thank you. It's good
to have you here. And please feel free to chime in as necessary on our stories tonight. I should ask you real quick, though, because we were talking about this a little bit at lunch. TwitchCon this year, is that something you're going to go to?
I do already have, I don't have my tickets yet. They haven't even freaking gone on sale. I have a hotel room, though. And yes, as soon as tickets go on sale, I absolutely will be. It will be once again in your backyard in San Jose.
I told you my problem with the weekend. Yep. Like, why are they doing Halloween weekend? Seriously.
Because that's been their time slot so far, or the weekend before.
I know at least one couple that's getting married Halloween weekend, and then there'll be a Rocky Horror thing for sure. I want to go like really bad. Because now that I actually do more streaming, I actually want, and like I know people that are going to be there. Yep. They're going. It's like, fuck, I really want to meet these people.
So what you're saying is we need the Hyperloop to be done in the next 4 months so you can just get down there in half an
hour
and
can you give Elon Musk a call? And
I mean, I am one of his...
Get those tunnels underground?
I am one of his customers. Yes, I know. That has some clout, doesn't it?
Perhaps. I was going to ask you this real quick, and then we'll get into news. With the Twitch stuff, you don't really do a lot of broadcasting.
Like, nope. You're
not, right. So is this like a similar thing to the game development? What do you do? Because you've always been like a big supporter of Twitch and streaming and all that. What is your role in that?
I am not a game developer. I'm developer adjacent. I am not a Twitch broadcaster. I am broadcasting adjacent. I am a...
Adjacent? You're broadcasting adjacent.
Adjacent.
Come on.
All my D's. Come on, you guys.
I was literally picking up the microphone to make that joke.
That was pretty funny.
Okay, anyway.
I have dabbled in streaming to kind of understand, especially like OBS has some really... It's a language that you need to learn. It's a way of putting things together that you need to learn. And I've been a tech support person my entire life, period. And so that's just kind of the role that I take on. I'm a community member for friends. I know I have a couple of IRL friends that stream. A former coworker was my gateway drug into Twitch. And by referral, friends of friends and all that kind of stuff, I go in and I help people out and I make friends by reference. And I meet new people. TwitchCon especially has exemplified that. So I'll take part and be a community member and provide knowledge and insight as possible as necessary.
Really rad. And I think, you know, especially for the larger streamers, which is not something I've had to deal with personally, because I'm affiliate, but I'm still kind of small fry, right? You know, I'm a small French fry, not a jumbo size. But like those guys that are like partners and stuff, like they need like teams to be able to just moderate their channels to like take the garbage out, basically.
Yep.
And sometimes it's kind of a thankless job sort of thing, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, but you're doing a very important role there with all that. So, all right. Awesome. Great. If you guys want to ask Jason any questions, you can over at live.vognetwork.com. In fact, actually, Bobby Blackwolf is speaking up going, maybe I need to talk to Jason because I'm fighting OBS for some stuff with plugins or browser source stuff. So I guess the consulting door is open. All right.
I am reachable on the internet. I go by VXJasonXV.
That's right. Actually, funny enough, like OBS, you were kind of talking about like getting that software. You know, it's not just for streaming. You can make regular movies with that, like record things. And I've actually used, like, so for my dumb Facebook game that I got way too involved with earlier this month. You have to record these little, like, you know, like they would do on the TV show. It's just like them sitting there talking shit about everybody. So that's what you have to do, is you have to record yourself talking shit about everybody for like 5 minutes every game round, basically. So I used OBS to do it, so I could use my green screen to like pretend that I was in the forest, or like actually people started requesting, like, could you do one in the Grand Canyon? So I did one that was in the Grand Canyon. And so like I would use my green screen. That was all through OBS. So I would record little things in OBS, and I would use good old Windows Movie Maker to string it all together. But actually, well, but then I learned, like, how do I step up my game? And there's some free video editing program that's, like, really big. Redfish or something. I don't remember the name of it now. Red Lantern. I don't remember what it was called.
Red Lantern, is it very angry?
I don't know. I don't think that's really the name. Somebody in chat will yell it out. But it was a movie editing thing that's free. And I actually started to learn, like, how to use it. And, like, it was like, God, this ridiculous fucking game is teaching me these, like, real life skills. What the fuck?
If you want as well, I would be more than happy to bring over my Mac and let you use iMovie.
Oh, yeah.
iMovie will work on your iPhone.
Now, if I shoot films on my phone, which I have done, I definitely use iMovie for that because it's super simple.
And it will migrate over into the desktop version.
Yeah, that's with the cloud. And all that good stuff. Yes, of course, of course. Anyway, all right. Well, let's move on. We got to get into gaming, and we're going to get into, of course, our gaming weeks. But first, we actually have a kickoff topic. I know we're like 20 minutes in the show. We got to get to our kickoff topic, which has to do with Pokemons. That's right. E3 is just around the corner. Next week, actually, we're going to have kind of a very different OLR. So we're still debating, and maybe you guys can have a say with this. We are considering one of two options. We're either going to cut our show short so that Bethesda's press conference, we can kind of go watch that, then come back and give our thoughts. But Loki is kind of suggesting that maybe we do something that I said we'd never do and actually do the live commentary this year.
So, sure. Let's do it.
All right. So we
can complain live.
We can complaining live.
Or say that's really cool.
No, I think less cynicism, more optimism would be the
I am
the
optimistic. I'm still hoping for another Elder Scrolls game. Even if it's like something stupid like, oh, hey, we're remastering Oblivion now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
We'll
see.
That.
Maybe what we'll do, maybe I am thinking, all right, some folks are saying live commentary, worth a shot. Screw Bethesda. They're going to be let down. What I might do, and so this would be important for the podcast folks, what I'll probably do is we'll still do it live for those that want to listen. They can, and those that don't want to don't have to. And then what we'll do for the podcast is we'll make that section of the show like a special download on our social media, but it won't actually be part of the regular podcast. So that's kind of where my head's at right now. But we'll let y'all know what to expect next week. But anyway, my point was, with E3 literally around the corner, it is next week. E3 is next, well, you know, a week from Sunday.
Next business week.
Next business week.
Well,
yeah.
No, you are right. It is next week because of all the keynotes.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. The keynotes are starting on Saturday.
Which is
so you're
this
right.
whole topic of discussion.
Yes, 6 days away when the first keynote, EA, is going to be first out the gate. So anyway, but we have leaks are starting to show up, which are getting confirmed by some of the publishers. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. But also some people wanting to get the jump on some of the announcements. And the Pokemon Company was one of those companies that wanted to get the jump on those announcements. They did a little thing in Japan during this week. So they talked about the latest of what's going on with Pokemon. So the first thing that they announced is that they have a little side game called Pokemon Quest. And Pokemon Quest came out for the Nintendo Switch for free this week. And it is slated for mobile in about a month. It'll be coming out on iOS and Android. But you can download it on the Switch right now.
It's very obvious it's a mobile game. It's
yes,
all touchscreen.
It is all touchscreen. I mean, you can, if you dock it, or even if you are still in handheld, you can use the little controllers to move around. I didn't even realize this till I was streaming it earlier this week, actually. And Bobby or somebody chimed in and said, did you know you can use L and R to change at the bottom, like who you're?
Yeah,
I didn't even realize that until.
Or you could just do what I do and just let the game play itself because it ends up like beating levels that I can't do on my own. So I'm like, fine.
That may not be a bad idea, actually. So anyhow, the little free to play thing came out, and it's basically Blockymon. Like, they look like very block.
Cubivore Pokemon.
It is Cubivore Pokemon. Well, when I first saw it, I was like, oh shit, here's Pokemon's Minecraft. But it actually is nothing like that at all.
It's just more like, of Crossy Roads.
Yeah. I was just going to say Crossymon.
Yeah, Crossy Roads Pokemon.
That's a good way of putting it. So anyway, but the thing about it is that, you know, you can't really, like, you're playing a story mode-esque sort of thing by yourself, but you're not trading with friends. You're not interacting with friends. You can't see how friends are progressing. For a mobile game, what will be a mobile game, we know, and, you know, for what's right now on the Switch, there's really no sense of, like, competition with your friends whatsoever. It's
a shockingly antisocial mobile game.
Yes, and so, therefore, all the free-to-play elements are just, like, you know, pay this money to get items, or pay just sit there and wait. It's like that Harry Potter phone game.
Like, you have energy.
Yeah, it's that whole thing, which is a little bit eh, but it is free, so, you know, there is that. But for me, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I played it a few times this week, and I'm done. You know, that was cute. Next. You know, meanwhile, these other games are coming out, and I don't have the time to check out my silly little Pokemon. Maybe when it's on mobile, so I can do it from places like, you know, a doctor's office or a waiting room or sitting at the airport or something, like, maybe it would make more sense in those places, which I guess technically you could use the Switch in those places too, but I don't take my Switch with me everywhere. I take my mobile phone with me everywhere. So it's going to make more sense there. But Loki, I couldn't help but notice you have been playing it. I noticed that was the game that was on your Switch. So that kind of surprises me. You're into Pokemon Quest?
Yeah, it's fun. I played it for a few hours already.
How far are you right now?
To like the, not the, like the 4th, 5th, and 6th levels, because they unlock 3 at a time. So I'm to there.
Wow.
I haven't got any evolutions or anything, but I have a shit ton of Pokemon, though.
Okay, wow. Okay. You just keep using the little cooking thing? Do you just let it cook whatever it wants, or do you actually...
No, I looked up online how to, like, do those.
Okay. I was like, there's got to be
a way. But, I mean, it's easy to figure out, too. It's just like, okay, all red, all blue, all... You know.
Okay.
It's not that hard.
All right.
That's really smart.
And Bobby wants to know, have you hacked it yet, Loki?
I paid money to unlock some stuff because I thought it was worth...
You gave those people money?
It's a game, yeah. I'm supporting the game because I played it for like 8 hours. So I'm like, okay, well, I think it's them some money. So I did it.
I would not have thought that Pokemon Quest on Switch, out of all of the things out there, would have been the thing to finally get you to open up. Well, I mean, I know you've opened it up before, but would be something to get you to open up your wallet. I'm pleasantly surprised. That's all.
I just figured I'd throw them some money.
All right, fair enough. So there you go. Headline of the week, y'all. Loki spent money on Pokemon Quest. All right. So Pokemon Quest is out. But that's not the thing people really wanted to know about. People wanted to know about where's the real game coming out on Switch? And Nintendo had kind of two answers for that. In a sense, they had a literal two answer with Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
Which was a game, I think these were leaked a while ago.
Yeah, the leaks turned out to be pretty legit because those were the leaked titles that came out. And so, yeah, I mean, that would not be a thing. I think most people would guess is that Eevee was now a starter Pokemon of sorts. But that makes people very happy, I'm sure, because Eevee is, you know, people love Eevee and the Eeveelutions. So that's really cool. And then Pikachu, of course, has always been a bit of the mascot of the Pokemon series, thanks in no small part to the cartoon. So anyway, these games were confirmed. They will be coming out for the Switch, but they're not your traditional Pokemon RPG. In fact, these games look like they are, I mean, I guess the easiest way to say it would be it's a bit of a hybrid of Pokemon Go and the more traditional Pokemon RPGs. What I mean by that is that it looks like you will be catching Pokemon with a very similar ball-throwing type of mechanic that you use on the mobile phones when you play Pokemon Go. In fact, speaking of Pokemon Go, there does appear to be a way that you will be able to bring in monsters that you've caught in Pokemon Go into your Let's Go game. No word yet if that's like an isolated area, because if you look really closely at the trailer, you see it mentioned something called Go Park or something like that. So it's unknown if it's like something you bring into the full game or if it's just like this one mode that kind of works with it. And Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee is going to have their own little Bluetooth peripheral. It's a little Pokeball.
And so you can also bring them back into Pokemon Go too.
Yes, apparently. So, got a lot of Pokemon Go players pretty excited. So, anyway, the accessory is a little Pokeball, and then I guess it makes little Pokemon noises as well. It's Pokeball Plus that they are saying will be available in November.
For a day, and then gone for 3 months.
That's fucking generous. For 5 minutes, and then it will be gone. Like,
that's a portion of the day.
If you want one of these things, you better be ready to fight. Because we all know Nintendo cannot keep these types of things on the shelves for shit.
We don't know how to supply our
This is
going to
be the thing. I'm just telling you all so that when this happens, we can say, oh, yes, we knew this was coming. This is going to be the thing that you're not going to be able to fucking find, but you're going to want it. And
oh,
it's
no.
That Pokeball.
Customer fainted.
Trainer used eBay. It's super effective, but you now have $0. Anyway.
Craigslist used scalper.
So anyway, so Pikachu and Eevee. But I say it looks like it's kind of a hybrid because when you look at the battle doesn't look like Pokemon Go at all because the battle is just mash the screen as fast as you can type of thing. But in this one, you can clearly see that there is like the Pokemon comes out and you can choose one of three moves. Like there's a little screenshot with Pikachu being able to use Thunder Shock or Quick Attack, and he's limited to how many times he can do it just like in the games. So it does seem like there is a little bit of a hybrid there. So you might catch your Pokemon like Pokemon Go, even though you are on the Switch. It's a single player experience. But I got to admit, like, as somebody who loves Pokemon Go, who appreciates the single player games but never seems to have the attention to completely get through them, I'm looking at this going, wow, this seems like a really kind of perfect blend of the things I'm into. And like, you know, I understand there's people out there that just for whatever reason they don't go outside as often, and so this is a chance to play a game like Pokemon Go but from the comfort of their own home or what have you. So, I mean, that's really cool too. But, I mean, just as, I guess, for no other better term, but a filthy fucking casual when it comes to Pokemon, like, I'm, like, super into this. So it was interesting to me to watch some of the, you know, reaction over on Twitter. You've got some people that are, like, into it, like I am. Some people that think it's trash. You know, they're like, pass, you know, on whatever this is. Now, if you're one of those people that's like, pass, well, the good news is for you, they confirmed this is not Gen 8. Pokemon Gen 8 is coming in 2019.
But?
So the next Pokemon mainline game is a year away. It'll be what, like holiday 2019? But that is, again, and I talked about this on a previous episode, if you look at the number of years between mainline Pokemon gens, you should have expected 2019.
But? This game is going to be the way to unlock one of the Gen 8 Pokemon before the game.
I see. Okay. I didn't realize. Now, I heard that there was going to be an extra Pokemon in this game. So,
yeah, it's going to be a brand new Pokemon.
Yeah. So the thing, and also if you didn't already pick this up, the thing about Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee is that it is Gen 1. It's Kanto Pokemon only, basically.
And it's only using one Joy-Con.
Hmm.
It's controlled completely with, like, the analog stick, basically.
I'm also still kind of curious how that's going to work with Pokemon Go, if Go has three generations, and I would think by the holiday...
Probably only port over certain Pokemon.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe only certain ones are going to be able to go back and forth. We'll have to really see how that all shakes out. Or maybe if these games, like Pokemon Go, are built to expand to Gen 2, Gen 3, Gen 4. I mean, it would probably make more sense to Nintendo to sell those things separately. But they could also be awesome DLC. I mean, would you guys pay for DLC that was Gen 2, Gen 3, and so forth?
If the game's good.
Yeah, if the game's good,
I think it looks cool. I'm excited to get it for my kids because, you know, my youngest son is really small. He plays Super Mario Odyssey, doesn't really understand everything in it, and gets stuck a lot. But my oldest son beat Super Mario Odyssey, so...
Nice.
I was surprised having played through the whole... I'm just surprised he did that, but like it would be nice to have a game that they could both play together that is pretty easy to control, so I'm down with that.
Bonds006 in chat says, this is how Ninty and Game Freak is going to get me to buy a Switch. Damn you, gaming god. That's over at live.vognetwork.com. You know, I'm in a group of Pokemon Go raiders, and you have all sorts of different levels of gamers in there, and there's some people that don't really play a lot of console games, but some of the folks in there are talking about, so how much is it to get a Switch? Like, what other games are on the Switch? So, like, if I wanted to get it for this game, what else would I be able to play? You know, like, they're asking those types of questions where some people are thinking about it, like, especially because it has the Go functionality. And, like, if you're not a Pokemon Go player, one thing you need to understand, there are still a lot of people playing Pokemon Go. And I don't, at least from my perspective, there's a lot of older folks that are playing. When I say older, I kind of have to loop myself into that crowd because I'm also in my 40s. But I noticed, like, there's definitely a crowd of, like, late 30, 40, 50-year-olds that are, like, super into Pokemon Go. Because that's why I keep running into it all these raids. it's a very interesting, like the core audience right now for Pokemon Go is very interesting to me. Yes, there's kids that do it too, but I think there's also, like, I see a lot of parents who bring their kids, and then I think a lot of kids are just kind of off doing their own thing. They're not necessarily trying to get shiny Ho-Ohs and things like this. But, like, when it comes to the raids and the hardcore stuff, like, I notice a lot of, like, older people, and I think folks that are just like, so, okay, well, like, if I got a Nintendo Switch, it might help me in this game. Like, I'll consider it. Like, it's, like, super interesting to me.
That's the most expensive DLC I've ever heard.
I know, right? But there's people that'll do it. Like, people are just going, like, and plus, oh, man, the best part, I don't even think I should get into it here on OLR, but, like, some of the drama that comes up between, like, grown-ass men and women about, like, and I told that motherfucker he needs to stay off my fucking gym until I get my coins. If that motherfucker knocks me off that gym before I get my fucking 50 coins, I'm going to go to every gym in this goddamn neighborhood and look for that motherfucker, and I'm going to knock him off. Like, that, I wish I could say I'm exaggerating a conversation that I've overheard. I am not. Like, Pokemon Go has its own set of drama, but I don't want to scare people off from Pokemon Go either. You can stay. It's very easy to stay away from that and turn that off. But I'm just saying, like,
it's like, you know, that's like the equivalent of like a dollar worth of like.
Yeah, these are grown ass men and women who fucking fight about gym control.
Mommy fainted.
And okay, thank you. Thank you. Chatter's backing me up. Dungeon Buster in chat says, I believe that conversation happened. Bonds 006 says, yes, the gym battle drama gets real. ActDev says, I have friends that are getting back into Pokemon Go because of this new game. Yeah, that's kind of the general vibe I'm getting on Twitter, too, is that I've seen a lot of people that are suddenly like, I'm going to reinstall Pokemon Go and see what I've missed because I need to be prepared for this Switch game.
You've missed a lot. Yeah. They've been, I got to say, the quest system thing that they've done in all these different events each week, mm-hmm. really helping.
So, I mean, love it or hate it, there's no denying that Pokemon Go is like transforming Pokemon and therefore Nintendo. I mean, the fact that this game is happening, and I got to say, I'm super fucking excited
and
for
all
it.
Those
like,
people
I'm
that,
here for it.
Yeah, no, seriously, like for all the people that are just like, oh, I hate this and stuff. Think about it this way. You're getting all these people that are going to be more into Pokemon. Now this is kind of the next step to a traditional Pokemon RPG. So when the new Pokemon RPG comes out, that's even more people that'll play it. I don't see how there's a downside to this.
Yeah. Jamie, you've been a little quiet. I know you're not as into Pokemon Go. Well, you play here and there, but what are your thoughts on this whole like direction for Let's Go?
I was actually kind of excited.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first new Pokemon game I've been super interested in, so yeah. And even Dan, who's like, Pokemon, whatever. He's like, really liking that controller, the mm-hmm. Pokeball controller.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I like how it kind of glows. Like, it reminds me, what was that old, like, 80s cartoon where when the little robot talks, it would glow? Like, this looks like what the little Pokeball's doing.
But, I mean, the whole concept is very interesting, and I was even super excited and was like, you know what, I think I found a Pokemon game that I want.
Nice.
But I would get the Eevee one.
Well, that's fine because I've pre-ordered Pikachu because I don't know what it is, but every gamer I know, and I don't know what it is, has pre-ordered Eevee. I did not realize that Eevee was like the unofficial like LGBTQ plus mascot. But
I just think Eevee's cuter.
Eevee is cute, but I got Pikachu because A, I'm old school and hipster, and Pikachu's what got me into like the anime and stuff. No, but for real, if all these people I know are getting Eevee, then I'm going to get Pikachu, so I have people to trade
because
with.
Pikachu's got some weak-ass evolutions is why I would go with,
but
you know.
The first you know thing, what? But he's fucking cute, so shut up.
The first thing I'm going to do, though, with my Eevee is make it a Flareon.
If you can, though.
Well, Flareon no. was first gen?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Flareon was gen 1. Yes, sorry. I don't know why my brain went to, when you said Flareon, my brain brought up a picture of an Umbreon.
Because it's going to be my little flame dame.
Yeah. There you go. See, Bobby Blackwolf in chat, you know, that's the key to a happy marriage. Bobby Blackwolf says, my wife has told me she's getting Eevee. I'm getting Pikachu. Do you like, by the way, there was no discussion there. It was just, my wife told me she's doing this.
As it normally goes.
Exactly. Right, Jamie? All right. Actually, even, you know, Alan is super into Pokemon Go, and I think he's kind of like looking at this going, huh, so is this something that'll help me too if you get this? Or, you know, are we going to have to get him his own Nintendo Switch, help me God. All right, anyway. So yeah, I'm really excited about those games. And then of course, Gen 8, as we mentioned, at some point next year. So for those that aren't feeling this Go thing, you know, you can wait till next year for the RPG. So you got that. So anyway, Jason, what are your thoughts on the Pokemon Let's Go?
When I was younger, I told myself that I would get back into Pokemon when the technological sophistication is sufficiently upgrades. Somehow I told myself that was Diamond, Pokemon Diamond. And yeah, it had like system to system, the cave mechanic that I barely even remember the details to. But I played maybe an hour and a half of Diamond and never again.
Well, to be fair, that's like Gen 4, right? That's like the worst gen.
I couldn't say because I just didn't really make any progress on it. I know Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Charmander weren't the starters. That's
nope.
about it.
Nope.
But yeah, like for I don't even remember the logic that went into that decision. This is significant. This is new. This is interesting. Yeah, I sank in, I don't know how many hours, 20-something, probably mid-20s level of Pokemon Go. Unaligned, thank you very much. I never chose a team, which probably means like the game isn't going to be available to me. Anyways, yeah, I enjoyed Pokemon Go. I'm keeping an eye on this kind of stuff because it is very interesting to me. It is a very significant part of my preteen and teenage years, but certainly kind of the formative teenage years. And with all of these new features and possibilities and Pokemon Company and Game Freak and everybody starting to be able to actually take advantage of them, it looks very interesting. I think buying it is inevitable. I'm not over the hump quite yet, but it's something that I am certainly keeping an active eye on.
Yeah, and there's something to be said, too, because you mentioned that I just remember the starters weren't Bulbasaur, Charmander, you know, and that whole thing. But yet this is going back to a Gen 1 kind of reboot, and I think maybe part of the reason for that is to get those people. It's just like Pokemon Go did. Hey, remember Pikachu and Bulbasaur and all the stuff you remember from when you were a kid? Like, yep. I think there's something about that particular first generation, even though I know some people are burned the fuck out on reboots, you know, and all that stuff. And like let's folks, there are like 800 Pokemon. Can we stop with the first 150? But you know, that's
not to mention only being limited to 150 and not, oh God, there's so damn many.
Right. So anyway, all right. Well, there's some thoughts on Pokemon Let's Go. Hopefully we'll get some of your thoughts later in the show, maybe either in our mailbag, or of course there's also our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. But for now, before we get into the news of the week, we want to get to our gaming weeks. What types of video games have you been playing this week? How was your gaming week, Dark Sakura?
I bought some games. I haven't started them yet because Steam had a couple of things on sale. One of them, well, great, now my Steam is trying to update, so I can't look at what they are. And I put my receipts away. I'll get my receipts in a second. But I did play... I'm starting to try to actively level in Pokemon Go again. And, of course, you know I like my idle pouring. Okay, so the game that I bought was... I bought Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines for $5. And I bought the Dark Souls Remastered because it's on sale for $20 right now. And I know I bought something else, but oh yeah, I bought Shatter based on recommendation from a couple of the listeners. So we'll see if I like it. Actually, no, I had already bought it, but someone—I think it was Raginator—told me that I'd like the soundtrack, but it wouldn't let me buy the soundtrack for myself. It was really weird.
The Steam's DLC. I mean, for every other kind of DLC, it makes sense that you would have to have the base game, but just because of the way that you have to have the game to download the soundtrack to, it's a mess.
Yeah. So with that then, I was... Since I had to get a new phone, I went back to go finish playing the new Puzzle Bobble game. Yeah, I have to start completely over on Puzzle Bobble, and I was like on stage 80 when I quit, when I had to replace my phone. So a little bit aggravated by that. Apparently a set of Corsa is on sale for 15% off, so that's cool. If you like your car games, and Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons is on sale for $2.99. I'm buying it right now. So anyway, it's really been kind of a busy week because I did just come back from Drag Con before that, and then all of the Bay Area stuff I've been doing. Probably this month is not going to be a very great gaming time for me because I have three Pride events, and
Are you doing Sacramento Pride this coming weekend?
Sacramento Pride.
I may actually go after all. I know I said I wasn't going to go, but one of my friends was like, we should go, we should go. And I'm like, all right.
If we have a booth, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm doing Sacramento Pride, Rainbow Festival, and San Francisco Pride. So it may be just mostly Pokemon for this month.
It's all right.
Yeah.
That's still a game. That's going to be me next month, because next month I'm going to be in rehearsals for, and I guess I can say this now, I'm going to be in Clue the Movie here locally on July 28th. Is
Kermit
when
Flail.
That is.
Kermit
at
Flail.
The Colonial, and I think the reason why people like Jamie are taking a particular interest in what's happening here, I'm going to be playing Mrs. Peacock. So if you've ever seen Clue the Movie, you know that Mrs. Peacock, like, she starts the movie like she's kind of normal, and then she kind of goes, like, completely neurotic. So I remember about 10 years ago, I saw a stage adaptation of the movie Clue. I think it was totally bootleg and probably would have got shut down if Paramount found out about it. But that was the first idea where it planted in my head, where Mrs. Peacock is like 15 times funnier as a drag queen. And so I was kind of like, all right, like, acting goals. So here we are, July 28th, acting goals. I'm going to play Mrs. Peacock. So I'm like actually like super excited about it, but now I'm realizing like, oh god, I have to shave my beard. I'm gonna miss my beard, and I have to shave lots of other stuff too, but thankfully Mrs. Peacock's dress is pretty big, so I won't have to go too crazy, but yeah, I'm excited about it.
This means no tucking.
Yeah, that's one of the big reasons and let me tell you, it's a big reason. No, I'm kidding. One of the big reasons why I was willing to play a part like that is because the dress is pretty conservative, so I didn't have to like go like all out. You know what I mean? So, but it'll be fun. It's going to be a good time.
I'm pretty handy with hot glue, so I can help make a fascinator.
Not when it comes to that.
I meant the fascinator, her weird hat thing that she's.
Is it just me, or we went from the topic of tucking to where Jamie goes, I have a hot glue gun. No!
No, everyone knows that you use boat tape to tuck, okay?
Yes, I'm aware, yes.
Or a friend of mine uses gaff tape.
Yes, anyway.
Not duct tape.
Hey, for someone who don't have the junks, she knows a bit about tucking, okay?
You can. You know what? And if you want to hear more, there's a YouTube for it. There's all sorts of YouTubes for everything, so go enlighten yourself if you are curious how that part works. But meanwhile, we are a video gaming podcast, so I'm going to take it over to Loki for how was your gaming week?
This week, I played a lot of stuff on the Switch. So I finished – I don't remember if I beat Mario Odyssey this week or last week, but I finished Mario Odyssey – just the regular storyline. So now it's, of course, getting all the Power Moons and everything. So now I have all of the Power Moons in the Sand Kingdom. Actually, all but one. One which is following this taxi around, which that's pretty super easy to get. So I'm not worried about that right now. And then, let's see what else. I picked up a few games on the Switch as well. So they had some sale with some of their LEGO games. And so I picked those up. So I've got LEGO Worlds, which my kids have been playing a lot. And that's kind of, yeah, it's been a while since I played LEGO Worlds, because I was in when it was in early access, when it first got released. And so I played it back when it was just, you know, just being made, and it was very early and, like, rough around the edges. Now it's, like, completely different, so I'm kind of interested in it. It's all right. And, of course, the LEGO Ninjago game, because that was half off as well, because I like the movie. And what else? The Pokemon Quest game, I've been playing quite a bit of that. Pokemon Go, been playing more of that just because they've had, you know, a lot of their stone and earth types, and so I've been trying to just, you know, level up some of the ones I don't have yet.
Fucking lack of fucking shinies is driving me crazy.
I have not gotten a shiny anything since the dragon water one?
Dratini,
yeah, since Dratini. That's the last shiny that I got.
Wow.
And I play quite a bit. I mean, so I don't know.
Just, I know, me too. I run my gacha a lot, and I'm not getting my needs met.
Yeah, so to me, I don't even know that they're shinies because I never get them. And then what else? Yeah, I think that's about it. I picked some stuff up on Steam. I don't remember what it was, though. It was just a Humble Bundle. So whatever that last one was, I think it was the multiplayer one. I think I wanted to just for this stick fight game, because that game's awesome. And same guys that did, you know, the Total Epic Battle Simulator and Cluster Trucks and stuff like that. So I want to support them. And the game looks awesome. I watched some people play that.
Cluster Truck is fucking fantastic.
It is a great game.
I lament not playing it more, but the fact that I've played it since its official release. Oh, God. What was that? End of 2016 or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was all a while ago.
All sorts of fun.
But, yeah, I mean, and I had finished everything. The only thing I don't have on that is I haven't played the PC version enough to where I've gotten, like, they had, like, a Halloween special levels and stuff like that that I want to try out. I don't have those yet. So I had to play through that. And then I did play a little bit more Bloodstained Curse of the Moon. And I think that's it. It's mostly Switch stuff, just because it's very convenient to play that, especially after my kids go to bed, because just pop it off the dock and away I go. So that's been my week.
All right, Jason, you want to tell us about your gaming week?
I have been eyeballing the Switch for a while. I was in San Diego in, well, April now. It's June, so not last month. I was in San Diego in April and on the way back visited a friend of mine in Arizona that had one and beat the entirety of Odyssey with a modicum of Power Moon chasing, finding, puzzling. I beat the entirety of the story, kind of rushed it towards the end, but I legitimately beat that game. And as I expected, everything about the Switch's design is phenomenal. Like you see the underpinnings of what the Wii and the Wii U brought, and they turn it into such a great presentation package. Everything, so many things that they're doing with Labo and other accessories, and all of the wireless capability of the Switch is phenomenal. All of this I'm putting together to say I own a Switch. So my gaming week has been playing Odyssey on my own system over again, doing a lot more Power Moon hunting, and that's the only retail title I owned. I've been a fan of 2020 Super Baseball since it's existed, both in arcade and on the SNES, and seeing that on the store, I picked that up immediately. Touched on Pokemon Quest just to kind of see how it played, get a feel for those mechanics. And it was kind of interesting, yeah. But getting most of the way through Odyssey again, a little bit of downtime. My brain is wiped from the 48 hours of driving that I've been doing. So kind of working mostly and Odyssey and downtime. I actually read Ready Player One. That's gaming related.
Yeah,
hooray!
I hadn't read that back in the day.
Now,
did you
see the movie already?
Yes, I caught the movie.
It's completely separate, but
yeah, it is. But I think thematically, with the intent of the base ideas that went into the book. They took the important bits and then made not better references, certainly different references, more modern references in the movie. And I enjoyed the movie, and I read through the entire other book, and that was great. So gaming week has been reading Ready Player One, catching up on Odyssey, a little bit of dabbling of some other stuff, some other random stuff on the store, and I think that's pretty much it.
All right.
Because I'm not on a weekly basis, I have been playing Borderlands with two friends of mine for quite a few months now. Once a week on Sundays every week when I'm not traveling, and I have officially beaten Borderlands 2 for the first time.
Oh.
All the way through, finally.
Nice.
And so we started. We were kind of back and forth between the DLC and the pre-sequel and all that kind of stuff. We'll get to it eventually, but we're actually doing True Vault Hunter mode. Because I had never beaten, I never did that either. So seeing mostly the name renames more than anything else, but even some of the quirks of making like armored racks and armored psychos and a lot of those things even worse and even harder and more frustrating to deal with has been really interesting. So Borderlands 2 for the past couple weeks with some friends of mine, and yeah, fill in time where possible and when not traveling.
All right, well, that's fun. That's Borderlands. It's Friends. That's a nice little like weekly thing to do. I
need
like
to
that.
Play through the pre-sequel still. I'm hoping for 3 this year.
Yep.
They announced it. I'm hoping for 3.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet that that'll happen, but we'll see. Anyway, my Game of Week. I'll try to keep it fast since we've had a lot of Game of Weeks, but I've been playing more Pokemon Go. I got my Latias, so I can calm down about, you know, having my Pokedex very filled. Although one of my friends is visiting Texas right now, so he just sent me a picture. He just caught a Corsola, so I'm a little jealous. These region-locked stupid Pokemon, but oh well, one of these days I'll catch some region locks of my own. Let's see. I've also been playing on the Switch. I also was playing Pokemon Quest a little bit. I've been continuing in Hyrule Warriors, which I think I was playing after the show last week, and still having a good time playing that. But all these other games that are coming out that are getting my attention, including I finally got my code on the Switch so I could play Bloodstained Curse of the Moon on the Switch. So I actually did a stream of that for probably a good hour and a half earlier this week, and I played through, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 levels. I got all the way to the boss with the that's kind of like the succubus girl that has little umbrellas. Like, that was the last thing I beat.
Yeah, so I was trying to explain that to my kids. Why is their bathtub red? I'm like, it's blood.
Because it's full of heart candy. No, I don't know. Yeah, you just have to kind of, yeah. So anyway, I like, you know, especially, it's funny because as I was playing through the stream, I was like, you know, oh my God, this is just like Castlevania. This is just like Castlevania. Like, these monsters are just like Castlevania.
Exactly, yeah.
But I do like those like small little subtle things that they change, like the different candle colors so you know if it has a weapon in it type of thing. I really like the character switching mechanic. Like, the old dude that's an alchemist, like, some of his attacks are badass. Like, that ice thing saved my ass I don't know how many times. So, and I remember there's even one of these boss fights I was doing. Oh, yeah, it was the painting. The painting that fucking, like, ate one of my characters. I was like, what the fuck? The painting just, like, one-shotted me. So I was like, fuck this. So I played the old guy, and I just shot it with an ice beam, and then just walked up to him and went, bink, with a little rod, and the painting shattered. I was like, well, that made it easy. So anyway, I like that variance between the different characters and thought that that was really cool. And I've been playing on the simple mode. I've been playing in casual mode or sometimes, as we call it here on the show, Bobby Blackwolf mode.
It's not – there's nothing wrong with it. It's just you have infinite continues. So what?
Exactly. So what? It's still the same thing. It's funny because I haven't played this game yet. I bought it and I'm going to play it after the show. It's called Just Shapes and Beats, which is a game that Jason referenced in the introduction there. Just Shapes and Beats has been shown at conventions for like years and years now. And I remember like the Mortal Kombat theme always like the song. Did the Mortal Kombat theme even make the final game? I don't think it did.
I think so.
It's just like, yeah, I think it's just like other bit tunes. I guess
it was
Bobby would know because he's been playing.
It sure was a highlight. Yeah. Well,
because everybody knows that song.
If not all three PAX outs that I've been to, 2016, 2017, 2018, it was absolutely 2017 and 18. And when you get kind of towards the middle of the show floor, test your mind.
And so I saw it at MAGFest. I think both times I was at MAGFest, I saw it. So kind of a similar thing, really.
I mean, I make fun of it, but, you know, hats off to them for putting something, for being able to get it together and consistently having a crowd and getting it out the door.
Well, anyway, the thing with that game that Just Shapes and Beats, I noticed because I haven't played it yet, but I went through to configure the options just to make sure that when I broadcast it after the show tonight, because Bobby and I are going to do a co-stream after the show tonight, I want to make sure that when I broadcast it's going to look fine. So I was going through different options, and I noticed one of them was about a casual mode, and it said something about, in this mode, you have 2 times more health to help you basically get through the story mode and stuff. And it said something like, there's no judgment in playing this mode, just have a good time, with a little heart emoji, and I thought that was really funny. So I like that they did that.
Everything that talks about a casual mode will always remind me of my Devil May Cry 3. That I was just horrendously terrible at it, so much so that I unlocked easy mode.
Yeah.
And I turned off the game and never played it again.
You know what? There's so many people that will go to the park and play basketball on casual mode or play baseball on casual mode. So you know what? Sometimes you're going to play a video game on casual mode.
And that's also why basketball was created, because they could just land shots all day if they just didn't have to run around all the time.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway,
is it the 90s yet? Have we traveled back?
Dated
yet?
Reference. Bonds 006 in chat says, I own the term filthy casual. I play all my games on casual. Hey, no shame in that. So, my thought with Bloodstained 2 is that knowing it's like an 8-bit version, I'm like, it's not going to be that long of a game. So once I play through it on casual and I beat it on casual, if I like it enough, then I'll go through and play it on normal now. And it's like, okay, now I'll kind of know what to expect And I think I'm actually kind of glad I did it that way, because there are things like the branching paths and the upgrades, and there are things where I'm like, okay, I'm glad I kind of know this in advance of playing it on normal mode. I think that will help. So anyway, that's enough for my gaming week and what I have been playing this week. By the way, though, it did come to my memory this week. I recalled that we had talked about a Minecraft realms for VOG. We got distracted with all this other stuff.
Oh, yes. I have not forgotten.
So that is something that I want us to hopefully get underway this week. So stay tuned to our Discord for all the details over at vognetwork.com/discord. And once we have something up and running, I'll be sure to post more information there. But that is something I'd like us to do this summer for all the Minecraft players.
Are we going to do survival or creative?
I think we're going to do survival so that there is game.
Yeah.
I won't play then.
Oh, but it'll be easy survival.
I don't like survival mode at all.
All right. Well,
all right.
I just creative is just, I mean, there's no reason we can't have two realms, but if I'm paying for it, I'm going to pay for the survival realm.
I'll just play by myself.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah, I think just with creative, it's just, you know, it's cool because it's art on a canvas, but I don't think there's as much, you know. And I think when you did yours was on creative, right?
It started off survival, and then we just went creative because we were going to do like a lot more stuff in there.
Bobby Blackwell says, is there a survival peaceful where there's survival mode but there's no creepers? We'll look into that.
Yes.
I'm fine with that if there's a mode like that. Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah, because creepers are fucking annoying anyway.
Is it just no creepers specifically, or is that PvP?
I think you can turn PvP on and off, but I think there's a mode where it's still like, the thing is though, in crafting mode, peaceful, you have access to anything when you want.
Peaceful
it.
Though. I don't remember if there's animals though with peaceful. Yeah. I don't remember.
We'll look into it. We'll
still
figure it out.
Come.
Creepers aren't that bad. You'll just get used to not having to deal with them. You can turn off grief or like creeper, like I think where you can turn it off where their explosions don't break anything. They
just
hurt
you.
Yeah, that's
the annoying part.
I think that's, you can turn that off, I think.
Yeah. We'll look into it this week. All right. Anyhow, that is enough, though, for our gaming weeks. As far as announcements go, next week will be a little bit of a shorter slash different show because E3 is going to start on Saturday and run through, let's see, we have press conferences on Sunday and then Monday. And then the actual show starts Tuesday, as well as the last press conference, or in this case, Nintendo Direct, is Tuesday morning. So there'll be lots and lots coming through E3, but we'll kind of be in the midst of that when we do our show next week. In 2 weeks, we will be celebrating 16 years of Orange Lounge Radio. This show is old enough to drive right off a cliff. That is that is where we're at with 16 years of Orange Lounge Radio. And then we will be off the week of the 24th.
It's a good thing that this show ends in the 9 o'clock hour Pacific, because when you're 16 on your provisional license, you can't drive after 10.
Oh, is that
depends
true?
On where you are.
Yeah, it depends on where you are.
Is that not US-wide by now?
That's not US-wide.
Oh, well.
Keep in mind, in Mississippi, permit age is 14.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You get your license when you're 15, and I don't think it's required yet to have driver's ed to get it at 15.
They've changed a lot in California. I think even when you have your license, like 16, 17, 18, you can't be by your, like, you can't have other kids in the car or something weird. They have some really weird law.
Those are the same rules. At least for me, when I had my provisional license, because I'm the youngest one in the room. For me, when I went through the driver's license process growing up in New Mexico, obviously with your permit, you had to have an adult, a parent. I think it was any adult, not just a parent. But with a provisional license, you could not drive after 10 before 6 with more than one other friend without all of these can be overridden with a parent in the car. I think the only other requirement is that you're supposed to have like 50 hours of driving by the time you get your actual license.
I remember getting pulled over at 2 a.m. once when I was 16, but I had legit, because my dad worked for the railroad, so he was on call 24 hours a day. I had legit taken my dad to work at 1 a.m. so I could use the car like on the weekend for something else. I got pulled over and I was by myself, and I think the cop was more concerned with like, what the hell is he doing out at 2 a.m, you know, by himself. But,
give me your fake ID.
Yeah, right.
Just taking my
dad. Anyway, no, they didn't have quite those same rules when I was 16. Anyway, all right.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase magazine.
Let's move on. Let's talk about news. We got gaming news to get to, starting with Loki. Let's get into news.
Do we have news? Okay.
A few things.
I guess we'll get to that finally. So, we talked about how PUBG was kind of a little upset that there was this competitor, Fortnite, that was, you know, coming out and just kind of taking over the market that they had kind of built up a little bit with their whole Battle Royale genre. And, you know, their complaints before were like, well, hey, they're ripping us off because, you know, this uses a frying pan in this game. And I think this lawsuit was similar. They were doing it against mobile games as well, like some mobile knockoffs saying that, oh, yeah, they use a frying pan. They use the phrase, you know, winner, winner, chicken dinner or some other bullshit like that. And basically the whole concept of the Battle Royale gameplay. Well, now they have, strangely enough, decided that they're going to sue Epic Games over Fortnite.
Just to put some things in perspective, I'm looking at Twitch right now, the rankings live on Twitch. So Fortnite is currently the number two ranked game on Twitch with 224,149 viewers. IRL is number one right now. I don't know what's going on IRL, but yeah. Fortnite is number two, and then Player Unknown Battlegrounds, which used to be, like, I would see it number one all the time, number 15. Oof. That is on my phone right now, looking at the Twitch app.
So, I mean, their main complaint is that, you know, one, that it's unfair because they were licensing the, you know, Epic's game engine to basically build their game. And because they're using the Unreal Engine, they felt that, oh, because they're familiar with our game, so they just straight up copied it, and now they're profiting off of this thing that we came up with. I don't know. To me, it seems kind of ridiculous, but let them try, I guess. They are suing them, though, in Korea, which is kind of interesting that they're not doing that in the U.S. I'm wondering maybe if their laws are a little bit different there of what's going to count as, you know, copyright or whatever. But yeah, so that's something that they're doing. And what's kind of weird, though, about that is like, okay, you're suing the company that you're using their game engine. I mean, you don't think that there's going to be any sort of negative consequence to doing something like that? I mean, that doesn't seem like a very smart thing to do, but they're going to try, and I think they're going to fail, but they're going to try, and we'll see what happens. But ultimately, they're probably going to fail.
Yeah, I don't really see it. Well, this lawsuit is not in America, right?
Yeah.
It's in Korea.
And it's such a stretch. Like, I get it, the gameplay is similar, but then that's kind of going back way, way back, like Street Fighter clones, Doom clones. First off, you didn't invent the Battle Royale genre, one. I mean, there were games that were out way before PUBG that were basically the same type of game.
And the Romans existed.
Yes.
Right. You know, like H1Z1, King of the Kill. Very similar
gameplay.
And
honestly, I think that would be the defense's angle right there, is that you didn't invent it either. Done.
Using a frying pan as a weapon in a game, not iconic to your game.
Yang did that in Final Fantasy IV. Thank you. Thanks to his wife.
Princess Peach did it in Super Mario RPG.
And it's been used in books.
There you go.
It's just,
I'm sorry. Am I the only one that read Dragonlance?
And it's been used in the kitchen.
And,
exactly.
And on top of that, a lot of the assets that are used in PUBG are straight out of the Unreal Store. Like, there's not really a cohesive style to the game, whereas Fortnite has this unique art style, unique
incredibly
gameplay
cohesive.
There's the whole building portion of that. It's very different. It seems like such a stretch to try to, the gall of saying that their game copied yours just because their game is doing better than yours right now.
Thank you, Ninja.
You know what? Karma's going to come up and it's going to catch up to you. And it's going to bite you in the ass, especially when it's the company that you're licensing their fucking game engine.
I know. I was going to say, I am really surprised that we have not seen Epic make a move where it's like, you know what? Due to ongoing litigation, we have to suspend your license because of this litigation. Like, I'm really surprised Epic hasn't made a move like that yet. Maybe it's coming. Maybe that's something they could subtly do during E3, and it might get lost with all the other news going on. But we'll see.
But, I mean,
The PUBG fans would certainly notice and make a fuss about it.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm just curious to see what will happen. But I just think that you got to – it's not a direct clone. It's not like we're seeing, like, oh, look at this is a mobile game that looks like it's – you know, PUBG. It's just something different. You know, they're calling it something different and, you know, copying the unique style of the game. But this game is very general and kind of bland looking, and that's to its detriment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Speaking of Fortnite, there's rumors that it's coming to the Switch. And this is from a couple different sources, one being that there is this, and it's a document posted on 4chan, so take that as you will. But allegedly, it's like a leaked...
Hold on, I'm bringing in the truck full of salt. Hold on.
It's allegedly a leaked piece of material from E3, you know, and advertising material, something like that, talking about games coming out to the Switch. However, there was also a second source, though, which is the Korean ratings board that mentions it on the Switch. So maybe that's a little bit more legit, but we'll see. It wouldn't be a big jump to say that it's coming to the Switch. I would imagine that that would do well there. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Only a couple weeks.
All right. Yeah, I'm pretty... Do you think it's... I think it's absolutely happening.
I think it's legit, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
All right. Yeah, Dark Tetsuya says, normally I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that rumor, but the Korean rating board thing
is
interesting.
Well, also, if you think about, you know, Nintendo, it's a good way to sell that, hey, multiplayer pass.
Oh, good point. Good point. Nintendo's online. Trying to load up on all the stuff that's multiplayer online.
Although, Fortnite's you can just go on PC and play it for free, but, you know.
And you can't stream Fortnite as easily from the Switch. I mean, if you have a card like I do, it's super easy, but, you know, not as... built in. We'll anyway. See. All right. Well, over on the Microsoft side of things, Microsoft taking a little heat this week because they have laid off Xbox support staff. And the new plan for folks that need Xbox support, use volunteers from the Xbox Ambassadors program. Now, well, before you go too crazy with this, it's not like they've like closed their whole call center or anything like this. Here's what actually happened. Microsoft let go of 12 people from the Xbox support team. So it's not like the entire existence of their support staff. But, I mean, it's still worth noting, like, they let paid people go to basically have volunteers do what they were doing. It sounds like a lot of these folks were inquiries that went to Twitter. So, like, you know how Xbox has a pretty active Twitter account that will help people that are complaining about different things? It sounds like a lot of the staff came from this area. So Xbox ambassadors now will be the ones that will be able to help. They will earn points and get entered into competitions for a chance to win prizes. So apparently, too, just to put salt in the wound, I guess, Microsoft asked the staff that they ended up letting go, to train Xbox ambassadors and increase their input, which is always a little bit of a red flag. I mean, sometimes, you know, cross-training is inevitable no matter what industry you do. But sometimes if it's like, wow, I'm showing every function of my job to somebody else, that may not always be the best sign. Because every case is different, I suppose. But certainly that was probably the first sign that something's up there. Anyway, Microsoft, of course, is not specifically responding on anything, you know, about the layoff specifically. But in an interview that they did with a big gaming website, they said that we continue to have a number of highly trained customer support agents plus community ambassadors available to help customers with their needs. So
it's never good to skimp on your communication anywhere, but I feel like Twitter being such a first line is a especially bad place to get rid of full-time, compensated, talented individuals and open it up to any aspect of community management. Maybe. I don't know. That particular role strikes me as a little... That particular medium for the role strikes me as a little strange.
Bobby in chat confirming they had an active Twitter account. They've stopped responding pretty much altogether. So it sounds like pretty much anybody who was using that Twitter was probably part of this. That's unfortunate
what?
For those guys.
Tweets to one account doesn't scale? I'm surprised.
I kind of thought Microsoft would have learned this lesson before about what happens when you dial back on community engagement. You get something like the Xbox One unveiling. Now, granted, I realize this is a different scenario because we're talking a little more like support and help. But still, like, I'm a little surprised to hear that Microsoft wants to cut corners because I feel like that has not benefited them in the past.
But no one plays games anymore. Everyone's watching TV and sports and TV.
Well, I mean, but if they can't – here's the thing, though. If people can't figure out how to fix their Xboxes and they're complaining about it on Twitter and nobody is, like, actively helping them, then they're going to continue to complain to their friends and the other people they follow on Twitter. I mean, I just always felt like when Microsoft is, like, actively seeking out the people having problems with Xbox stuff and they're replying to them, they're trying to cut these issues off before they grow and they escalate and they turn into, now I'm going to tell all my friends about – how shitty, you know, Microsoft is, you know? I don't know. At the end of the day, will this have a gigantic impact on things? I don't know. But, so anyhow, Bobby is also kind of saying, like, they had several Twitter accounts, like Xbox Support 1 and 2, but basically they replaced those accounts with ambassadors' personal accounts that use the hashtag Xbox Ambassadors. Wow. Ragenator says, I'll help you right now. Did you try turning your system off and then not back on again? Oh, that should just be – there should be a Twitter robot.
How many flashing lights do you see?
Oh, my God. This would be a genius Twitter robot. You ready? Whenever somebody writes a complaint to Xbox support, it just automatically replies, have you tried turning it off and then on again? Hashtag Xbox ambassadors.
Hashtag
Xbox I think that's
IT.
Funny. I think that's hilarious.
Hashtag the Xbox crowd. The X crowd.
Let's see. SSG100 Matt says they were pretty hush hush about that hacking problem you had back in the day, Rob. That was before the hacking problem was before their Twitter. The 990 gig thing that came up. I think they did try to reach out to me on Twitter, but they like couldn't help me. They couldn't figure out what the hell the problem was. So it was weird. Yeah, they didn't really want to like admit anything. So it was kind of weird there. Anyway, So that's something that's happening. So, you know, if you have strong feelings about that, I suppose you could tweet Microsoft, but I'm not sure it's going to change anything. So just hopefully this doesn't lead to a series of more bad decisions.
If you we'll tweet see. at a support account and nobody's there to read it, did you really say anything at all?
Maybe I'll send that tweet right now to Xbox support.
I'm surprised that we're not having Cortana field these tech questions. Oh,
make sure to hashtag your
that
question,
could be the
Xbox
robot.
Ambassadors.
That could be the but instead of like Cortana, it's like God, what is that web series with Donald Duck and you know what I'm talking about, Darksiders, the RuPaz Drag Res, like all the like Gooby.
Yeah.
Is based off like a Disney thing with Gooby and Donrad Duck and stuff. Like,
there oh,
should be
yeah.
Like a, right. Okay. Somebody knows what I'm talking about.
Or Mass Effect.
Yeah. Yes. Like with that whole thing. Yes. There should be game. Like a Cortono or something.
Cortan.
Yeah, perfect. Cortan is the boss. Is the boss that just replies to everybody going, have you tried turning it off and then on again?
Yeah.
Cortan. And the avatar is just a picture of Courtney Cox from Friends,
oh,
but like dyed blue.
We live in the modern age of the internet where that is something that could be possible.
That's it. Gooby Dolan. That was it. Thank you, ActF. You win. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Sorry, I'm in love with this idea. Like, does anyone know how to program a Twitter bot? Like, Bobby, I know there's so much work to be done at Vogue Network, but do you know how to make a Twitter bot? Jason, you know how to make a Twitter bot?
I could look something up.
Because we need
this is gaming adjacent, so.
We need Core Ann to happen.
Gaming adjacents.
All right. Meanwhile, let's get into some other stories. Darksagra.
Oh, this one made me angry and then made my heart warm. So there is a streamer who goes by Ammunition. She plays some of the war games like was it Rainbow Six and a few of the other ones like that, PUBG, God of War, Overwatch. She was playing Rainbow Six offline with a bunch of guys, and then they didn't know who she was, and she was a pretty big streamer. So when they asked if she was a woman, she said yes. And the moment she confirmed it, they laid into her with some really hateful shit, like calling her, you know, you trying to use gamer girl like it's an insult, and then called her, and this is quote because I would never use this term, a tranny bitch, and then said, we're not treating you like this we're not being like this because we don't like women, we're being like this because you're shit. And the same person telling her, I hope you die. And all she did the whole stream was just
play the game,
play square, called the shots when they needed. When she would do well, they said she was kill stealing. And then when she died, they would just fuss at her for it. So she saved the whole thing and uploaded it. Uploaded, made it public, called them all the fuck out. And one of the players went back and said, I'm extremely sorry for the way you feel. Which is, number one, the bullshit. I'm sorry you feel that way. No, it should have been, I'm sorry for being human garbage, you know. And he said, you know, the words I use were meaningless and have no substance. And her response was, I appreciate that you wanted to apologize, but man, you went hard just because you heard a woman's voice. You called me a fucking tranny bitch and told me to kill myself over nothing. All I did was exist. And she's like, I'm going to read this quote here. I don't necessarily want to crucify people when I feel there's a potential for them to walk away from the subject thinking, wow, I messed up. I did something really awful and it came back to bite me. I won't do it again. But, and she's basically like, yeah, there's consequences for this. Which actually, I am super inspired by this to the point that I want to go out and play these games and catch people in the act and go public with their names.
I just, this kind of begs the question, like, why? I don't know what platform she's, I mean, if she's playing these on PC, then unfortunately the downside to PC is a little bit more of a no man's land. There's no moderation is my point. Now, I'm not saying it makes it right. I absolutely am not saying that. I'm just saying it's harder to moderate. But if she's playing these games on Xbox Live or PlayStation Network or Nintendo, you know, that which I, these games aren't
Rainbow on Six on Nintendo, please. Just, come on. They can't do that. Well,
no, it's, she's playing on PC, it looks like.
But my point is Nintendo would have the same responsibility no matter what. Okay, then sadly, you know, because my
But those games themselves, their rooms should be moderated.
That's true. The game makers should be doing something because somebody is kind of hosting those servers. My question at the end of the day is like, why aren't these fuckers getting banned or dealt with? You know, because like, look, I've had my share of completely unpleasant matches in Overwatch, and I just play quick play for fuck's sake. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people be really fucking mean in Overwatch, and it's like, and it is PC, so Blizzard thankfully has, you know, they've committed to trying to do some better stuff, but they're saying it's taking away from the development of future stuff. Like they're having to deviate. Yeah, I know, it's kind of where my head is.
Hire more people.
Yeah, right.
Be less shitty.
Don't outsource to Xbox ambassadors.
We'll get less. You know, Overwatch skins. Oh,
but the whole thing to go back to the point. Is and she also goes on record saying, I'm sick of sweeping this behavior under the rug and pretending it's all fine and dandy. It's easy to sweep things under the rug. It's harder to ask people to be better, especially when so many people are just resigned to accept the fact that online gaming and toxicity goes hand in hand. To go back to what you were saying about playing on PC.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't go hand in hand. And honestly enough, I want to hold these people, you know, accountable. I want to fucking hold them responsible. I want people to know that these people are garbage. And if you see these tags, ostracize them.
Let me ask this tough question, though. As much like I get that from a like immediate, like I feel, you know, that like some justice has been done in this scenario. But at the end of the day, what does that really change for those people? Like these people need to lose their privilege of being able to play the game online.
Exactly. But at the
very
least,
unfortunately, you can't do that.
At the very least, just like we had that one person go back and say, I'm sorry that I was that way. Well, he clearly got some shit over it, or he probably wouldn't have apologized. People like that don't apologize until they're fucking caught. And when they're caught, like all these, you know, asshole men who are being accused of harassment, and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you got caught, bitch. More of them need to get caught and made a public example of.
I just don't understand though why. Like, I get it. Like people...
You don't understand because it doesn't happen to you.
Okay, let's not do this. Let's not...
You didn't let him finish his thought, sorry, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I get interrupted all the time. But, all
right, okay. Finish your thought, Logie.
No, what I understand is, like, I get it. There's dicks out there online. I mean, but there's also functions to mute them as well. And I get it, yeah, maybe one gender gets it more than the other, but you can also just mute them and block them, and then that's the end of that.
You shouldn't have to. Especially when you are playing a cooperative game and you need to fucking hear what the other people are doing. or else it's not a very cooperative game.
Yeah, I got to agree with that. In a co-op sense, like when you're muting somebody, it's harming the game because maybe the other team isn't having garbage. Here's my thing. Here's what I honestly think needs to happen is what the decent individuals, and I think, you know, the men in this room would consider themselves decent individuals.
Yes,
and
we're
I think
all
many
decent.
I think many of the men listening are very decent individuals and so forth. So here's my thing is that the other thing that kind of blows my mind in this scenario that happened with this gal that was playing online is that when these comments were made, nobody said anything there and then. And I'm not saying she has to always be the one to do it. Why didn't any of the other bros say, dude, not cool. It's 2018. Grow the fuck up.
Because they were equally garbage.
Or chicken shit. You know, but my thing is that I think it's up to the other people. It's just like, you know, when we talk about some of these greater complications in society, you know, and so forth, usually it takes that person in the position of privilege, so to speak, to call out, because the unfortunate thing is it doesn't always happen when the oppressed is calling out. It takes the person from the position of privilege to say, hey, wait a minute. This shit needs to stop. In order for change to, like, for people to kind of, you know, the oppressor to stop and think about what they're doing. Does that make sense?
But anyone who is so weak-willed as to go along with it is part of the problem. They are equally, they are complicit in this behavior. Even if they sat there and quietly said nothing. Now, she was taking the high road because she was the one being targeted. She kept, and I think it was because, you know, she was recording this to publicly out them. She had to be the one to play it straight. And kudos to her for calling it out, for making it public. Because we need more people to stand up and make it public and hold these people accountable.
I have to admit, though, you know, I'm looking at Bobby in our chat room. I'm quoting him a lot tonight, but he's saying some good stuff. And honestly, I have to be honest, I'm in a similar place to where Bobby's at. Because something that Bobby says, that's why I never play online. I have better things to do in my time rather than be in a place with people being assholes. My time is more valuable than that. I have to kind of agree.
But
that's why I don't play a lot of these games online.
But also taking yourself out of that situation doesn't help alleviate it either. It contributes again to the problem because they're pushing out the people who are talking against them who aren't willing to take a stand.
Yeah, but I sort of feel like I don't want to jump in this garbage pool in the first place. Like, this is part of the reason why I don't like to go on Xbox Live with non-friends. Like, I kind of feel like, you know, Microsoft kind of needs to moderate this. The people that are interested, you know, maybe if that gets better, maybe I'll consider going in the future. But otherwise, I just don't.
Look at it.
It's a waste of my time.
Look at it in terms of then of history. Mm-hmm. If you're, let's say that it's in the 60s during the protests against Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people said, I don't want to be involved in this.
Okay, hold up, though. I know where you're going with this thought. So I'm just going to just say, does this mean you're going to start playing Rainbow Six online?
I might.
I will be very interested to see if you stick with that.
I have to put my money where my mouth is. I mean, I have to, you know, practice a little bit and actually be good enough to play online. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if that's what it comes to, I would do it. You know, that's why I'm an activist and other things that are important to me. You can't just, it's real harm. What is it? The true evil is when good men do nothing.
All it takes for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing.
That's the quote. So if you do nothing, it's going to persist. If you want things to change, if you don't like how something is, you have to get in the middle of it and you have to fucking make it change. Nothing changes until you make it change. Even if you die without seeing the change, you got in there and made the fight, and that means that the next generation to pick it up is going to take up where you left off. That's why, I mean, if we want to look, I know it's just a game, you know, playing games online, but look at it in the higher context. You know, if you're willing to take a step out for this, you know, an easy thing, what's to say that there won't be a bigger, you know, that when it comes time for a bigger stand, that the same behavior might not happen because it's easier to just take yourself out of the equation.
Let me get to some comments from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. She-Hulk says, I've met a lot of cool people online playing games, but every once in a while a person cheats or is a loser. I block them forever. Act Deft in chat says, and people complain, Splatoon 2 not having proper voice chat. To be fair, Act Deft, like, I think when that topic has come up, I think there is certainly some complaining in that regard, but then there's also that whole, like, well, if it was there, would I use it anyway? I don't know. And then Bonds 006 says, I want to play Dark Sakura. I'm down. Team OLR on RB6. So, hey, you might have some good good
actually,
dudes.
That means I have to actually buy the game.
Or it doesn't necessarily have to be that game. Believe me, there's lots of toxic games
out
there.
There's other games that I can play that I'd be good
at. Don't you already own Overwatch?
It makes me motion sick.
Oh, because I was going to say
that. Fortnite, it's third person.
I could do Fortnite.
Okay. All right, because I was going to say that might be a great place to start. Would be something like Overwatch, but Fortnite's a good candidate, too.
I'll do Fortnite.
All right.
No problem.
All right, I bet there's a lot of people that would love to play Fortnite with you.
But it's just, you know, it's... God, I'm just. It's something that's very activism itself.
I get it, girl.
Is very near and dear to my heart.
Sure.
And when I see people not willing to fix something, but they're willing to complain about it, you can't complain about shit if you're not gonna fucking do something about it. It's like voting. If you don't vote, you have no right to complain.
I think in this particular case, it's more complicated than that because from my perspective, Jamie, you're saying you need to play this game that you have no interest in playing.
It's not the no interest in playing thing. It's people play the games, but they don't put themselves in that environment. And I can understand keeping yourself out of something if you just don't enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that when you know that there's a group out there who wants to enjoy the game online in that capacity, and you could be in a position to help them enjoy that game, why aren't you helping?
I would say though, in some cases, like especially MMOs are the thing that's near and dear to me. Mm-hmm. And I have been the type to, you know, I kind of give it back to them in MMOs because, you know, my character's a sassy little Lala that when somebody mouths off, I mouth right off back to them.
I do it in WoW.
Yeah.
When I'm playing WoW and I have a piece of shit in one of my parties, mm-hmm. I vote kick them.
So there are places.
And I post screenshots.
Right. But I think just when it comes to stuff like this Rainbow Six and all this stuff, it's like, that's just a pool I am not interested in jumping in. Like, and I would just hope that maybe some of the dudes in there, because there probably are a lot of decent dudes that are playing Rainbow Six, can kind of be the ones to start that change. Because there are so many games out there, and the industry is so huge that change is going to have to come from multiple angles anyway.
I totally am planning on going ahead and hopping in on games that I like. And I'm going to stream them, and I'm not going to tell them I'm streaming them. Because why do they have to know if I'm streaming it? I'll wait till the game's done. I'll say, by the way, you can watch the stream of your behavior at at this.
Yeah.
Because right. I'm ready to start calling these fuckers out.
Bonds 006 says, we need to have an official OLR online game squad team group, etc.
Let's make it happen.
Well, I mean, or at least at the level of VOG, too. We've been talking about that for, you know.
We need the OL Army or the VOG thing. But, you know, the other thing, too, is that it's something I've already been doing on social media, like Facebook. If I see that if I've gotten a message from someone being scum, and thankfully I haven't gotten any yet because some of these people have learned, I've posted it. I've gone and found their parents and sent them links to how their children are behaving. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I got apologies real quick because I don't care if you're going to be shit. I'm going to call you on being shit. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I am not going to sit here quietly
some people on Facebook do need a spanking.
But I'm not going to sit here quietly and let myself be an oppressed party. Fuck you. I'm going to stand up for myself.
Bonds 006 in chat says we can each do our bit, as Jamie is saying.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, let's move on. We got lots more gaming news. We're an hour and a half into part A. Let's try to get through the rest of this gaming news. But it's good stuff tonight. Loki, what do you have for us?
So this is kind of cool. So I watched this video, and it's basically this guy who he actually hacked, you know, most people when they emulate stuff, you know, you're thinking like you're emulating the hardware and, you know, running the ROMs, you know, like NES emulator, we're taking, you know, emulating the hardware, we dump the ROMs and we run it so that, you know, it runs on fake hardware basically. Well, this guy, programmed by the name of Tom Murphy, otherwise he's known online as Tom 7, he worked on a slightly different route. Instead of emulating the NES, he emulated the cartridges. So basically what he did is he threw in a Raspberry Pi 3 Mini inside of a cartridge, and he got it to interact with the cartridge slot in a way that he was able to output to the NES. And so he outputted this like presentation that he made, and he even outputted Super Mario World in an SNES emulator running on an NES, which is pretty awesome. So, really neat, but I think he has the code online to actually try that as well, but really cool.
All right. So, how can I do that at my house?
Yeah, I guess you have a Raspberry Pi 3 and be very smart.
Because you have to completely wire a cartridge or something like that, right?
Yeah, he basically wired the output from the Raspberry Pi 3 to the cartridge slots to work. You know, it went very in-depth in the video, so definitely check it out online. You know, his YouTube account, let's see here, it's looks like it's like ampersand, or it's, Tom 7 is what he's, Sucker Pinch is his name on YouTube. So just look for Sucker Pinch.
I think it is kind of a neat concept, though. So Dar Tatsuya says, I watched the whole video. It was amazing.
Yeah. So, yeah, and he has like a making of the reverse NES emulation process. And it was interesting because he basically talked about like how the cartridges worked and everything and how he had to make his own security chip and everything. It was just really interesting. And just the being that you can use a Raspberry Pi to do that, pretty awesome.
All right, well, let's get into talk about some E3 leaks and some things that are getting announced a little bit in advance of E3. So Assassin's Creed Odyssey has apparently been confirmed thanks to a key ring. That's right. There was a key ring that showed up.
Oh.
I guess I don't know if it was on a shelf or what the deal was, but apparently the merchandise was posted by a French site, a little collectible that showed Assassin's Creed Odyssey, the little logo and a little Greek, like, you know, Spartan helmet on a keychain. So this led the official Assassin's Creed account to then tweet a couple days ago, "See you at E3," with an official little quick teaser there. So certainly this was kind of a spoiled announcement, I think. But at the same time, is it a shock that there's a new Assassin's Creed
game
coming?
No, they said that they were doing one this year, I think. So that's not a shock.
Maybe the Greek thing is a little bit of a surprise. But, hey, I mean, since God of War went to the Nordic gods this time, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they've been mixing it up. I mean, they did the whole pirate thing for a while. They did ancient Egypt last time. So now Greece. Sure, they're just mixing it up. I'm still waiting for a feudal Japan one. I know they had, like, the spin-off Assassin's Creed that was like that, but
yeah, they had
that was more
of
like
game.
A 2D game. I'm talking like I'd be more interested in the actual like feudal Japan one.
Having not played the Assassin's Creed series, it makes me feel very strange the sheer number of Assassin's Creed games I have in my library on my Xbox One, because three of them have been games with gold.
Yeah, there's been. I think one of them is right now.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean,
second half of May.
It was a game series I could just never get into. Like, I purchased the first Assassin's Creed, and I just like, I didn't.
Same. I haven't never been into Assassin's Creed. I played 2 hours of the first one and it just didn't grab me. And then 2, 3, 4, Black Flag, China.
But some people love them. Like, it's just, you know, it's just different.
It might be nowhere in so many so fast,
and it could be just that style of gameplay, because Dishonored is the same thing for me. Like, I can't get into Dishonored either, and I tried with that, and it's a similar type of gameplay, that stealth, you know, action type stuff.
That's me and Monster Hunter. Like, I feel like Monster Hunter is the game I should really be into and love, and I have so many friends that are super into it, but like, I've tried it and I'm just like, I'm not feeling this the same way. I don't know what it is. Like, I'm just not feeling it. But that's different. Different games for different people.
Different strokes for different folks.
I suppose, if you want to put it that way. Anyway, moving on. Darksoccer, what do you have for us in the news?
Oh, I have some stuff. You know, last week we talked about that game Active Shooter, where you play as either the police responding to an active shooter or the shooter itself.
Oh, yes.
Going into a school. Well, the online petition has been successful, and Valve has taken the game off of the Steam store. Also because the developer has a history of bad behavior. But it also, of course, you know, gained some pretty big attention after two of the families that had students killed in the February attack in Parkland said it was despicable and horrific and really called them out for it. And of course, you know, now they're Steam got some really bad PR over this by folks who had been involved in, you know, either school superintendents or people involved in the education system or local law enforcement really started calling them out. So Steam jumped in and said, nope, it's gone. So they emailed the media and said that it was taken down ahead of the June 6th release. And the developer, who is calling himself Ata Berdiev,
Berdyaev.
Yeah. Has a history of being a troll, abusing customers and publishing copyrighted material and doing user review manipulation. So they're not going to do business with people who act that way toward their customers.
Yeah, he's an asset flipper. So he's been known to do like a lot of really shitty games that have been on Steam, including the one that got him in trouble last time was he put up a Pickled Rick game, which, you know, of course, rips off Rick and Morty. But he's done several other like asset flip games on there, and then you basically manipulate systems to try to get him. He kept coming back on there. Well, and so it wasn't him this time publishing it, but it was him and his friend, I guess, publishing it. And they just found out because he used the same bank account as his other companies that, yeah, it's the same dude.
Well, someone who said his name was Arthur Belkin says that Atta was his friend and that the games were his. So he's waiting for Steam to reply, but basically it needs to be taken down anyway. So
nah, he's not coming back.
No.
Well, never say never.
Next time he'll come back wearing glasses and a suit and he'll just look different.
But also this guy said, you know, that everything was bad sarcasm, but he's like, sorry, but English is my third language. No.
Yeah, that's not really an excuse for the game, though. You know?
No, you're... By bitch.
Yeah, some of those things say it all in every
language. Hold the garbage accountable.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, Loki.
Yeah, so there was another announcement that was teased with a very long Twitch stream of a screen and a bobblehead. But finally, Fallout 76 was announced. And it's not clear exactly what the game's going to be about aside from Vault 76. But that there's been some artwork that they're painting down in LA, because, you know, traditionally when E3 rolls around, they tend to paint artwork on that one. I don't know if it's like a hotel building or something like that that's right there.
Oh, it's everything in that area. Like, you know, the banners go up on the convention center itself, the nearby hotels,
but they've got
parking
it,
lots,
the,
all
the picture
buses.
That they have for it, though, has multiple Vault Boys on there. So the thought is that it's a co-op or online type of game, but they haven't really said what it was yet. Doesn't mean that they're stopping from taking pre-orders, of course, you know, before we even know what the hell the game's about. But yeah, it's coming. And then, of course, the game is under development by Bethesda Game Studios. And then also a company, Battlecry Studios, is working on it as well. So be interesting to see. And I guess we're going to find out about it in June 10th.
For
one
sure.
Week.
Can hardly wait.
Yeah, I'm excited for E3 too, especially because it seems like there's just all these like big games, and obviously Fallout is another one of those things. Where it's like, I personally don't super get into Fallout. I own Fallout 3, and I just never really like super.
You have Fallout 4.
Oh no, I have Fallout 4. I get them all confused. I have Fallout 3 and I have Fallout 4, and I think I have another Fallout 2. But anyway, like I can't get into them the same way I get into Elder Scrolls.
You should. It's really
good. I know. It's so weird. Anyway, I'll be curious about this new one, but I mean, just between this and Borderlands, and you know, it's just,
I'm going to be more in the Borderlands, I think, Fallout.
Yeah.
But it's been a long time. Been getting that itch to play Borderlands again.
Well, I think a lot of people are getting there too. So, all right. Well, maybe you've got the itch for a classic video game. And get this. Apparently, Intellivision going to be making a comeback. Now, I know Intellivision, you know, they've done like the Intellivision Lives, and they have like an Intellivision Flashback. I actually own the Intellivision Flashback. Like they have Atari Flashback and so forth. But Intellivision is kind of going through another sort of shift, if you will. And it's thanks to Tommy Tallarico, who we actually had on this show years ago in Video Games Live.
Facebook buddies with him. And he's been posting these like cryptic hints. And then finally he's like, here's the news.
Really? He didn't accept my friend request when I tried to add him. Or he had hit his limit by the time my friend requested him. So anyway, I'm not his friend, but you guys are. That's all right. So here's the deal is that Tommy has apparently acquired the rights to Intellivision. So Intellivision Entertainment is going to be now the name of the company. And Tallarico did a little interview about this. Of course, he's not just the musician who did Video Games Live, but he has done video game development as well before. And of course, he's done, you know, TV and some commentary due to that. Of course, Intellivision Productions came from Keith Robinson, who unfortunately passed away in 2017, which, you know, I remember meeting Keith Robinson years ago at an E3, around the time I think Intellivision Lives was coming out on like the Xbox or something, or the Xbox 360.
Xbox.
It was the original Xbox, yeah.
I think.
So, yeah. So,
That would have been like, it may have been on both, because the Xbox 360 was out because we were playing.
Yeah, I feel like it came out on 360 and like PS3, I feel like it came out on. So like there was that whole little collection there.
Did I bring my 360? I know I was playing, because that was the year that they did demos for like the E3 stuff. So they had Lost Planet, I think, was one of the demos that you could play. Before, you know, it was the same one that was on the show floor.
MXC says it was PS2 and Xbox that came out on. So I guess it was kind of a little bit of an older game. But I feel like they were trying to do more stuff with the later games. But anyway, so Intellivision Entertainment is out. And so they are looking at doing a new Intellivision console. But Tommy Tallarico kind of wants to take a different approach. Doesn't want to necessarily do the same thing that like the Atari relaunch is doing, which we'll talk about in the second half of the show tonight. But Tommy said in an interview, I see a huge gaping hole in the market now with families in the home. We will be focused. We will not try to compete with Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo. That would be insane, and we would need $1 billion. So they're going to come out with more details on October 1st. There's also a new website you can get into as well. So it sounds like, and he says, we are in the middle. We won't run Netflix. We're not trying to do 3D.
So, I was going to say, I hate to be the one to say the terrible O word, but it sounds a lot like the Ouya.
Well, you know what? I think there was a lot in concept that maybe could have been better about the Ouya, and so maybe a second go at it is what this needs or what have you. So, you know, and it'll have the classic Intellivision library to back it up, but it sounds like from what Tommy is saying, maybe they're going to try to put out a console that's like $50, something that's a lot cheaper. I don't know, maybe 99. I don't know where they'll go with it, they'll try to put something out that's like really cheap that just plays simple kid-friendly type of games, you know, which, you know, maybe isn't for you and me, but that's okay. You know, maybe the goal is the parents can play the games they remember from the television.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, like, imagine a homebrew version of the SNES Classic. You're running SNES-type games on that type of hardware for that price point.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound terrible. I mean, think about if Nintendo had the forethought to, you know, put networking in their SNES Classic and to have a storefront where you can purchase more games.
Cha-ching. It would have been cool if they called it Satellaview.
Or that, yeah.
And harken back to that.
So anyway, I'm very curious to see what Tommy comes up with this, you know, and hopefully, you know, we'll get. It sounds like he's taking the right approach where he's like, look, we're not trying to compete with Nintendo in this stuff. We're looking at a different market. And so, you know, maybe this is a kid's bedroom console. I don't know. We'll see. So good luck. SG100 Matt in chat says, I think he'll do a good job with this console. He's a smart businessman, and we'll get the right people to work on this. Tiger Claw says, so expect those Intellivision consoles at your local dollar stores. Well,
no.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be that pessimistic about it, but maybe some of the games will show up at dollar stores. But honestly, is that such a bad thing? I mean, if there's a way to make some of these games for pennies on the dollar, then, you know, maybe dollar store sales is not actually the end of the world. So anyway, we'll see. Dark Tootsie also says Video Games Live wouldn't suffer because of this new system. He'll still be doing that, too, from the sound of it. Well, you know, you can, you know, run multiple businesses. Again, it's just like when it was pointed out in an earlier comment. If you have the right people that are doing it, you can still kind of, you know, do whatever you need to do. Anyway, let's take a trip down memory lane and take a look at a classic. Every week, Dark Soccer steps into the gaming vault and finds a game that she thinks, hey, you should be checking this game out. And maybe it's not as old as the Intellivision this week, but it's still a classic. I mean, when gaming's been around for years and years and years, you got a lot of shit to choose from.
Yep.
But the rule around here is generally 10 years old. We blur the line a little bit sometimes, but 10 years older or more. So, Dark Soccer, I know this is probably more like 20 years old. What is your...
Something like that.
Yeah, what is the classic game of the week this week?
Marvel Super Heroes. Fighting game developed by Capcom that was released in the arcade in 1995 and was a CPS2 arcade system game. It got ported to...
Stupid ads. I thought this thing had ad block. Maybe it...
You need the ad block for YouTube specifically.
I guess so. Okay, here's the actual music.
Plus, I picked like one of my favorite characters to play in this, Shuma Gorath. Or as Dan and I just kept calling him Shuma-chan. But anyway, because it's a cute little god of destruction and chaos.
Cute is an interesting word to describe it.
I love the poses, though, for Shuma-Gorath in this game. It also has one of my favorite ever attacks, Chaos Dimension, but I'll get to that anyway. So later on, it was ported to the Sega Saturn and the PlayStation in 1997, the Saturn version being the good one. And then it also was included in the Marvel vs. Capcom Origins collection, where, of course, Marvel vs. Capcom was also released as well. And that came out digitally in for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 in September 2012. It is loosely based on the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, and it is the second Capcom fighting game, the first one being X-Men Children of the Atom, and then succeeded by the Marvel vs. Capcom series. And one thing about this is that it was dedicated to Jack Kirby, because they based all the characters in the game off of Jack Kirby's original design, the ones that he had the hand in. So, which I read his autobiography too, and if you haven't read Jack Kirby's autobiography, you really should. But going further, it is a fighting game. I'm trying to say fighting and lightning fightning. For some reason. It's a fighting game.
A Greece fightening.
It has superheroes and villains from the Marvel Universe fighting against each other, but they use attacks to knock down the opponent and, of course, possess more life than them at the end of it. And they also have this different mechanic in it. They have the Infinity Gems. So the power, time, space, reality, soul, and mind. And you can knock them out of opponents during arcade mode or fill certain criteria in versus mode, like such as getting the first hit or doing different things. But when you use the gems in battle, you get enhanced effects. So, like, for example, if you use the time gem, you get super speed. Power. Different ones give you life, things like that. And also certain fighters will get extra benefits from using certain gems. Like Spider-Man using the power gem will let him create a doppelganger to do extra damage during his attacks. And so basically, the main antagonist of the game being an Infinity Gauntlet, storyline would be Thanos. And see, I thought that with Infinity War having recently come out, I thought that this game would be appropriate. So the characters in the game are, and by the way, some of them are only available in the Japanese version. They were hidden characters in the Japanese version, and they're unlockable in Origins, and then, of course, there's boss characters. So Thanos is the unlockable boss character, and for a hidden character, you actually have Anita, as in Donovan's little wanderer, the little girl who hangs out with him from Darkstalkers. And Dr. Doom was also an unlockable boss. Other than that, you had Blackheart, who's... I don't know. I really wasn't too into some of those characters in the 90s. But I remember Blackheart was in... It was like Punisher, Wolverine, and somebody else doing a crossover for that. But also Captain America's in it. Hulk is in Iron Man, Juggernaut, Magneto, Psylocke, Shuma-Gorath. Spider-Man and Wolverine, which I don't understand that if all of these characters are in it, why the fuck was Doctor Strange not in it? But go ahead and ask, Marvel that. So it did include four of the characters that were in X-Men Children of the Atom, who were considered to be the most popular, so it was Wolverine, Juggernaut, Magneto, and Psylocke. So, yay. Psylocke was one of my regulars in this game. And then, of course, the home conversions were revealed at E3 1996 with Stan Lee there at the booth. It is one of the best fighting games I think I have ever played. Great graphics, wonderful music. And then, of course, the Saturn version is, of course, practical perfection because it does use the 4-meg RAM cartridge. So that you get near arcade quality performance from it. You're missing some frames of animation, but it really is about as great as the arcade version as you could get the day when it came out. PlayStation 1, of course, was lacking because it didn't have the memory to accommodate some of the characters. And of course, the Sega Saturn, much better for anything 2D. Saturn Magazine gave it a 95% for being a wonderful conversion. And it was considered the 16th best Marvel video game by Geek Magazine in 2013 for, quote, its chaotic yet insanely fun gameplay. And it's considered one of the top 25 best 2D fighting games of all time, because the gem collecting mechanic still keeps the game fresh. Now, a little story about this game. When I was a student at the University of South Alabama, we had at this little, the place is long gone since then, but it was a deli that had been around since like the 70s called Solomon's, and now it's like some barbecue joint, but Solomon's had this bar, but they also had an arcade next door to the bar, to the side also of the deli, that had import arcade cabinets as well as, what's the other report, ROM hacks. Just, you know, bootlegs and whatnot. So I got to play this game pretty much the week after it came out. And I remember saying, you know, I only need 3 hours of sleep, and going to Solomon's at 4 a.m. to play this and one of the still beta editions of Mortal Kombat 2. And that was like my jam. Lots of pinball too, but I have very fond memories of this game. And of course, my first character on this game was Psylocke. My second was Shuma Garath. So, memories. It's a great game. Did you guys play it too?
No, I didn't really get into the Marvel side of the fighting games until Marvel vs. Capcom, when Storm was in it. And, you know, I would always play Storm or Chun-Li or something like that. So I think I kind of missed this one. I don't remember this being in any arcades near me. That was the problem.
See, and they had a missed opportunity with this game, because if they really wanted it to be more true to, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet stories, you should have had Gamora, you should have had Nebula, you should have had, you know, Doctor Strange involved in it, you know, Dormammu maybe, you know. Bring it. We actually need a remake to this. Well, and I understand they tried to do that with the Marvel vs. Capcom, but that's bullshit. It needs to be just a flat Marvel game. That's a 2D fighting game that has the actual characters involved in the Infinity Gauntlet original storyline. Because the Infinity Gauntlet storyline is fucked up, because it had Nebula getting the gauntlet, and if they do that in the movies, I'm just going to laugh.
Well,
who knows? I haven't seen it yet.
Might be the next movie.
All right, who knows? Anyway.
Yes, Nebula had the gauntlet and made Thanos her bitch.
But
she also had hair.
But that you are simply talking about the comics. We don't know what they'll do in the movies.
Yeah, I haven't even seen the movie, because I'll be perfectly honest, Infinity Gauntlet was really not one of my favorite storylines.
Uh-huh.
You know, Secret War was another one I didn't like. It's like from that same general era. The stuff that I liked was like Extinction Agenda and Inferno, all the X-Men centric storylines. So.
All right. Well, there it is. Classic game of the week. Marvel Super Heroes, the arcade game, but also ported faithfully down to Sega Saturn and the PlayStation. More people had a PlayStation.
It was
so
where we just patted the PlayStation people on the head and say, oh, you poor
You get
dear.
It, too.
But remember, Saturn sold very well in Japan.
That's true.
And if we had gotten in the U.S., if they had marketed as well as they did in Japan and got us those 4-meg RAM carts, they could have charged $100 a game and people would have said, here, take all of my money.
Yeah, well, considering that Neo Geo was giving you arcade perfect stuff and was way more money.
You could have gotten close to perfection with the Saturn for a fraction of the cost.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we have lots more news. We have your emails. We also have some stories on free games coming out if you are subscribers to Xbox Gold or PlayStation Plus. We'll talk about some backwards compatibility. We'll talk about Atari's retro stuff and maybe some more Street Fighter stuff as well. So we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We got more of Orange Lounge Radio to come right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio Live tonight, episode number 733 of our show, already in progress. For this June 3rd of 2018, kind of the eve of E3, and as we talked about in the first half of the show, quite a few things already kind of slipping through the cracks thanks to various leaks, be they intentional or not. We talked about Pokemon Let's Go, talked about Fallout 76, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And we have more to talk about in this part of the show, as well as your calls in a little bit here at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. But before we get there, we have some rapid-fire news to get into. Of course, Jason also joining us in studio. I need to give him a shout-out as
well. Hello, hello.
Good to have you, as always.
Hope
you're having
a
good time so far. All right, let's get into rapid-fire news, and we'll do Loki.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Mega Man 11, a game that I forgot was coming out, but it is, and it looks awesome. And
oh, yeah, I didn't forget it was coming. It's just one of those, I'm going to believe it when I see it, and so this week they kind of showed it a little more.
Yeah, they showed a bit more of the game. It looks very similar as far as gameplay-wise to the original Mega Man, but of course, much nicer looking. They showed off some of the new boss characters in there, including Block Man and Fuse Man, I think it was called, or Spark Man or something like
that. That's right, Fuse.
It's Fuse Man, yeah. But it looked pretty cool, and they have like a time slow ability that you have now too as well. But the game is going to be coming out October 2nd on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. So you can check it out then. If you're getting it on the Switch, they even have a version that has an amiibo, because everything has an amiibo.
Because of course it does.
But it's not the existing Mega Man amiibo.
It's a new amiibo,
It's a new Mega Man amiibo.
Yeah, new Mega Man amiibo, and it's the amiibo edition. So it's got the game, and the new amiibo, a Dr. Wily logo adhesive patch, and a set of stickers, and the Stage Select microfiber cloth that you can wipe your dirty Switch up,
because your Switch has been very, very dirty.
Very dirty.
It needs to be rubbed down by Dr. Wily.
And, of course, as everybody's favorite retailer, it is a GameStop exclusive. Because, of course, it is.
That makes me so angry. Whatever.
But, yeah. All right. And then, of course, it's that time again. It's that time to see what new games are going to be coming out for the month of June as part of the mandatory multiplayer passes that you have to pay for. But you get free stuff. So on for Xbox, we've got, starting June 1st, Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia. And that's for the whole month of June. And then, of course, starting June 16th to July 15th, you're going to have Smite, the gold bundle. And then the Xbox 360 compatible games that are be released around that time, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed for the 1st through the 15th, and through the 16th and the 30th, Lego Indiana Jones 2, The Adventure Continues.
Isn't Smite free to play?
It might be like a gold pack that you're getting, like a kind of...
Yeah,
like,
I figure those are... They're probably like what? Like XP boosters and...
Some like
characters.
And...
They've done this before because they gave away Killer Instinct in Games with Gold, which is also free to play. But what the Games with Gold stuff was like, you got all the Season 1 characters. Nice. Or I think at one point they even gave you all the Season 2 characters. So you kind of, you know, you got...
Some of the stuff that most people would pay money for. I'm also fucking garbage at Xbox One Killer Instinct. So
yeah, Xbox One Killer Instinct is like a totally different game. I like it a lot, but it's very different from the old school ones.
Yep.
And then on the PlayStation side of things, for PlayStation Plus, on PlayStation 4, we're getting XCOM 2 and Trials Fusion. I do like me some Trials, so that's worth it because I already bought it. PlayStation 3 is getting Zombie Driver HD and Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. I thought they stopped doing PlayStation 3 games. Or maybe I'm thinking PlayStation Vita.
They will be stopping that, I think, but they gave like a year notice on that.
Okay.
So it's like stopping in like April 2019. It's a ways out.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that date, but it's a ways out.
And then on the Vita, Atomic Ninjas and Squares. I don't know if any of these are like multi-platform games, because you know usually there's a few of those on PlayStation 3 and stuff
that end up being like multi-platform. Yeah.
But check those out.
Kaijudo confirming the date is March 2019. I was real close. So April would be the first month without it. Anyway, let's see. Also, Needle Crash is in chat talking about Mega Man 11, saying, yay, Mega Man 11, and mentioning that the Japan versions or the Japanese versions have better additions. So if you want the amiibo, you could import it if you don't want to do GameStop. Of course, that's going to be way more money, but you'd be getting a Japanese edition, and some they're a little different in their configuration, so maybe that's an alternative. So I like that.
Yeah.
Some outside-the-box thinking. I like that. Good deal. All right. Kaijudo says, I love the GameStop. This makes me smile. I'm glad someone's smiling. All right. Moving on. Also in Microsoft news, what about backwards compatibility? That's still a thing that is growing and continuing. So this is pretty cool because it's a lot of Rockstar stuff. So I think, Loki, you're going to be really into this.
Because it's all the same engine.
Yeah, right? So apparently, starting June 7th, you will be able to play Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Midnight Club LA, and, ooh, this is one that I bought because it was an early 360 release, Rockstar Games Table Tennis. That's right. All of them will be available to play now on the Xbox One, thanks to backwards compatibility. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas will be the enhanced version released on Xbox 360 with the increased resolution and draw distance, even if you use the original Xbox disc. So that's pretty cool that the original disc will actually trigger the enhanced version.
The original disc with the downloaded patch.
Well, yeah, because all the disc does was unlock the download.
Yep,
that's
the license.
All it, yeah,
the license,
that's all it's doing. And then the Midnight Club LA will be the complete edition. The initial release and the complete edition will be available. So neat. They say there was a native 4K update for Red Dead Redemption when they did that, but no similar improvements to these, at least not yet. Who can't wait for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie?
Ooh,
well, it's happening.
I'll probably see it at some point.
Whether you like it or not, Sonic the Hedgehog's becoming a movie. And they were trying to get Paul Rudd to be in it, but it sounds like they have actually cast James Marsden from Westworld, and I believe he was Cyclops in X-Men, if I'm not mistaken, or the early X-Men
yes.
movies, right? Yeah,
that was him.
That was him. So he's a little As older now.
Dick Cyclops.
And his movie career consists of running around with blue hedgehogs. So,
but is he going to be Sonic, or is he just going to be like one of Sonic's wonderful friends?
He is the star. He is possibly a buddy cop type of role. It sounds like
Sonic's human friend.
Yes, Sonic's shitty human friends. This honestly, it's sounding more and more like a cross between Detective Pikachu and what is that R-rated movie about the puppets that's coming out?
No, it's not like the. No, I would say, if anything, because it's blue, it reminds me a lot of the Smurfs.
Oh,
as
God.
In, it would be shitty, but I still kind of want to see it because Neil Patrick Harris is in it. But that's really the only reason I'd ever want to see that movie.
And since I do say Detective Pikachu, it shouldn't be forgotten that that movie is still happening. There is a Detective Pikachu movie coming out, too. So
it's Ryan Reynolds, though. It's not
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. But I hope that Ryan Reynolds will be as dirty as Danny DeVito. And I believe that he could do that.
I'm sure. Good times.
I believe in Ryan Reynolds. He's my current Lord and Savior.
I'm still a little apprehensive about the fact that they're doing a Clue movie with Ryan Reynolds because you all know Clue is near and dear to my heart. But
it's going
to
be R-rated.
Yeah. So, but I
they
just,
could go
I need
places.
Everybody to stop saying remake.
Literal flames.
Literal flames on the side,
on the side of my face.
Every
Clue that comes out is a new Clue because it's different every which way.
That's true.
This is a reimagining.
Reimagining of the board game in a movie form. Right.
Yes.
Just like how there was the VCR game that was different.
But if we have nods to Madeline Kahn.
I would be fine if they do like a nod and have somebody in the movie doing the whole flames on the side of my face. Like, I think they're almost required to do a nod.
Or if they do an like opposite, that. Like, I went cold, cold like the depths of hell. Mm. If you read Dante. You know, I'm just thinking.
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something a little more in your face would be. Or like a character named Yvette or Wadsworth. Like, they can call the butler Wadsworth. I don't care. Mm. Anyway, let's move on. Sorry. Away from Clue, but Dark Soccer, what do you have?
Well, we did bring this up before, but it's, of course, gotten larger attention, so I did want to bring it up. Ted Dabney, who is one of the co-founders of Atari, died at the age of 81, which is not a bad run. Started the whole thing with, you know, wanting to do, you know, of course, the Nolan Bushnell, who created Pizza Time Theater, had the idea for the Pizza Time Theater way, way back when. But it's one of those ideas that came about and led to, you know, they couldn't start the pizza place, but they began the partnership that led to Atari.
Right.
So,
and so even though we'd addressed this last week, it's worth noting that, like, you're seeing this now on places like the BBC and, like, these very large
I'm
websites.
I'm reading it off of NPR.
Yeah, or NPR. Like, these very big places are kind of picking this up. Like, mm-hmm. I even noticed it on Twitter. Like, one of my friends that does a lot of like media stuff posted a tweet about it like Tuesday or Wednesday, and I kind of wanted to reply and be like, this, he actually passed away like a few days ago, but I didn't want to be that bitch, you know. I was mm-hmm. like, okay, if people are, you know, it's taking its time for people to kind of recognize what's happening. And so,
and the thing I
think
like
that's kind of what you saw happen this
about
week.
The NPR article is it does go a little bit into more of who he was as a person. It was cancer that got him, but what I didn't know about him is that, I mean, apart from just being an electrical engineer and co-founding Atari, he was a Marine. So I actually got call outs from a few buddies of mine who had been retired Marines. So that was kind of actually how I found the NPR article.
Okay.
So
interesting.
But yeah, I think it's, you know, he's one of our co-founders, and actually this NPR article is totally worth reading. I'm not going to go like super more in depth on it. But it's a reason why, since, you know, they set up their first Pong in the Andy Capp's Tavern in Sunnyvale, we would do Atari party every so often in Sunnyvale instead of Davis. So I'll link the article in the chat room. It's totally worth reading. It's definitely going to be a lot more. And actually, I'll be linking this on my Jamie Summers Facebook. So definitely worth reading the whole article.
All right.
And also, one of my favorite characters who I keep going, didn't he die in the first Soul Calibur? Maxie is back. I won't be happy, though, if Maxie is not voiced by Hayashi Nobutoshi, who was his original voice actor, who was also Knuckles in Sonic Adventure, and Toski in Fushigi Yugi, and Basara in Macross 7. Just one of those voices, you know, really good voice, really good singer. But yeah, he's back in it, and he better be voiced by the same guy, or else I will be upset. And that's it.
All right. We're going to travel around the world and check out some release dates, some games you might be playing a little sooner than Soul Calibur 6 here on the eve of E3 coming up.
Yeah, there's actually some stuff coming out. So we've got BlazBlue Cross Tag Battle. That's on PC, the Switch, and PlayStation 4. A game called Happy Birthdays. That's on the Switch. Nobunaga's Ambition, looks like Taishi, and that's on PC and PlayStation 4. Onrush, which is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Shaq Fu, A Legend Reborn on PC, the Switch, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. The Elder Scrolls Online Somerset. That expansion is coming out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I imagine on PC as well. Vampire on PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Warhammer 40,000, The Inquisitor, and Martyr. That's on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Flashback Remastered Edition on the Switch. The Banner Saga 2 on the Switch. And then, as we talked about last week, MuvLuv on the Vita. And MuvLuv Alternative on the Vita. And then finally, last but not least for this week, Sushi Striker, The Way of the Sushido on the Switch and 3DS. That's it.
I feel like Nintendo's trying to push that game way harder than it deserves. But I guess I can't hate till I try it. So,
hate which one?
The Sushido game.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Moving on to Japan. And let's check out some of the releases there. Hey, on the PlayStation 4, Life is Strange Before the Storm gets its Japanese release this week from Square Enix. June the 7th is when that will be out. Fate Extella Link is out from Marvelous in a regular and a limited edition in Japan this week, as well as a game called Little Nightmares in a deluxe edition is also out this week. But that is about it, at least for the PlayStation 4 releases in Japan. I should point out, though, there is there is some sort of special PlayStation 4, like a new bundle that's coming out on the 8th. It is a new, it's a very pretty, like, blue. It's called the Days of Play Edition. I don't know if we're getting one like that here, but it's a really pretty blue. Like, if Shane saw this, I think he would import it from Japan, because you know he loves the color blue. And it's a really, like, pretty blue with the gold, like, PlayStation logo in it with all the little other X's and O's. And the controllers are really pretty, too. I might have to, like, send him that link and see what he thinks about that. Anyway, also on other systems, I'm not sure if the Vita also has that Fate Extella Link, and that's the only real release on the Vita this week in Japan, but hey, they're still getting something in Japan. And then on the Nintendo Switch this week, that Little Nightmares game is on the Switch. Otherwise, that is really it. It's a little slower for releases than it is here. Dark Sakura, what about Europe?
In Europe, we have on the 5th, Elder Scrolls Online Somerset. Actually, a game exclusive, the retailer. Onrush on the 5th. Also, Vampire. It's the YR spelling for PlayStation and Xbox. Warhammer 40K Inquisitor Martyr, also for those same consoles on the 5th. On the 7th, we have MotoGP 18 for pretty much everything. Flashback 25th Anniversary Edition for Switch on June 8th. Also on June 8th, is Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido, which that name, okay, first of all, Sushido would mean The Way of Sushi. Don't call it The Way of Sushi. Stupid. It's like saying chai tea.
ATM machine, USB bus.
Chai tea. Chai means tea.
But I love chai tea.
Bitch, don't make me.
Hey, next time I drink a cup of chai tea, you should walk up to me and go, hey, nice tea.
Girl.
I'm way too easily amused. All right.
Or like when I see yakitori chicken.
Uh-huh.
Yakitori means chicken.
Chicken, yeah.
On a skewer. Specifically chicken on a skewer.
All right.
It's like, chicken on a skewer chicken. Chicken.
If that's it for the UK releases, yeah, then I'm going to direct Dark Soccer to the mailbag. The bag of mail.
That, which I had to prune.
Yeah, Star Soccer went in there.
This
and
is working.
Yes, it actually, I just a quick off the record. Since Jason was here, I was like, Jason. I was like, Jason, our website's been doing all this stuff. And he went, oh, click.
Okay,
done.
It's fixed.
Done. So hopefully that won't bother us again.
Okay, so this one is actually a code for a game on for someone who has Xbox Live.
I saw that.
Wait, so I don't have it, so...
Whichever one of you guys... It was Street Fighter something, right?
Street Fighter 4 arcade code.
I don't think I have that on Xbox One. If I don't have it, I'll take it.
Then it's yours. I'll leave it in the inbox.
Who sent that to us?
Rababa.
Thank you, Rababa.
I haven't seen Rababa since he came back from Japan and gave me my Anpon Man plushie.
Rababa needs a theme song.
Okay. All right. That sounds like Mr. Bucket.
He might.
I was just about to say, this isn't Mr.
He
Bucket.
He might hate this, actually. We might get another email going, I unsubscribed, fuck you. Hopefully
you mean
not.
No. Rob-a-ba-ba would like to take back this email.
That's right. All right.
Love you, mean it.
All right.
So the one actual email that's content for us. Hey, OLR, it's been a long time since I wrote you guys an email. I just wanted to get your thoughts on Mega Man 11. Two new bosses were officially revealed this week, Block Man and Fuse Man. They look pretty innovative, and I like their designs as well. I already have my premium edition on pre-order from PlayAsia since Japan gets the good shit and we don't. I also noticed that you can't get the Mega Man amiibo on pre-order anymore from overseas since it's sold out everywhere unless you buy the Switch bundle that comes with it. E3 starts... I'll stop there. So what do we think about Mega Man 11? I think, yay, it's a fun Mega Man game, and I'll probably have it.
Same. I mean, I like that they... You know, I appreciate that with Mega Man 9 and 10, they went back to, like, that old-school Mega Man look, and they really made it look like... But I think people have been waiting for a game like this, where it's like it's that old-school 2D, but definitely with the tricks that, you know, you can do in a new school environment. So Who am I kidding? I'm going to fucking buy it. Even though I'm sure the game is going to be fucking hard, as a lot of Mega Man games are, like, I'll buy it, you know, whatever.
9 and 10 wrecked me.
9 and 10 were a disaster to I'm not saying they were bad games, they're actually great games, but like when I played them, it's like it was sad. Like
hey, remember how you couldn't dash or charge special weapons and all of these things from the X series that you don't get anymore?
Yeah.
Go back to the 90s.
I want a new X. 90s. That's what all this makes me does. It makes me want a new Mega Man X.
We'll get there eventually. They just
what
have
was
to...
the last X game?
X8?
Sounds right.
Yeah. But...
They just have to get through... They have to get through re-releasing everything. They have to get through extending the classic series. And now then they'll start extending the X series.
My
and
eyes are going to hurt from all the
and
rolling
the XE,
that they're doing.
And then the Battle Network. And then they'll make another sequel to ZX. And, yeah.
Oh, Dark Tetsuya in chat points out over at live.vognetwork.com. I did hear Mega Man 11 will have a casual mode. Yay for Bobby Blackwolf mode. Yay, because I love those modes. Although, with what I heard about Curse of the Moon, it might not mean a lot. Look, the thing about Curse of the Moon, it gives you unlimited lives. Like, yes, I wiped on that boss, but it let me start all over again on, like, the screen before the boss.
That's typical Castlevania, too.
So that wasn't... But, I mean, like, I died. I lost everybody, and it still let me start there with... You know, so yeah, I'm a big fan of casual mode.
Mm. So to continue this email, E3 starts in a few days. I'm wondering what your predictions are. For me, I'm hoping of the following: Onimusha Collection is announced, PS4 to be backwards compatible, Tekken Cross Street Fighter, Final Fantasy VII remake footage, Nintendo Switch Online plans, Bayonetta 3 info, Mega Man X9, A Man Can Only Dream. I truly hope you are all doing well. I haven't had the time to hear you guys lately due to life, but that's how it goes. Be well, keep up the good work, and happy Pride Week. And that comes from Needle Crash.
Well, welcome back. Happy Pride to you as well. Let's see, E3 predictions.
We get a month.
I guess that would be the time. I know, it's right. We do get them. But specifically, well, actually here in Sac, it's this coming weekend. But then I'm going to Chicago Pride. I'm such a selfish bitch. I'm doing it twice.
No, I'm going to San Francisco Pride.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're in Chicago for Pride. So.
You're doing charitable work, though.
Well, so, but I would have been there anyway.
So anyway, as far as the E3 predictions go, I think Bayonetta 3 info is a really good, safe bet. As well as some of those other things that were named. There's one other one that he named that I was like, oh, yeah, that's probably for sure going to happen. Mm-hmm. I thought that Tekken versus Street Fighter was a very interesting prediction because that has seemed to kind of disappear altogether. So I would like to see that make a resurgence as well.
Maybe they're hoping we'll forget about it before they reannounce it.
And maybe that's now that Street Fighter V is a little bit like, and Tekken 7, both are kind of like, you know, doing their thing. Maybe now's a good time for that to happen. So that's a really good call. As far as other stuff I'd like to see, from the Nintendo camp, I mean, I would like to see what great big holiday hit they have in store. I think there's a lot of people really hoping for a new Animal Crossing. I would love for you guys to be pleased, but I really would put that expectation on the lowest possible setting.
I really want it, though.
I know, but wanting it, I've wanted F-Zero for how many years?
Or as my husband likes to say, how does it feel to want?
Yeah. Here's the thing with Animal Crossing. That mobile game is still too fresh. So I would say, you know, keep bugging the shit out of Nintendo and tweeting at them and stuff. Let them know the demand is there. But don't be surprised if that's a next year thing. But as far as Metroid Prime 4 goes, now that I would like to hear some more things about. Otherwise, with E3, gosh, I'm going to go by my old standby that I think one of these years Microsoft is going to be the first one to say you no longer have to pay to play online anymore. That's my old standby prediction. I'm convinced they're going to do.
Which seems weird, especially in the face of Nintendo holding up that mantle now.
I know, but Microsoft has to make a big fucking move.
They have to be bold.
They're going to have to make a big fucking move to get people to talk about them again. And I think that would be one of the things that would do it.
Another thing, though, about making a free-to-play model for online gaming is the fact that there will be less... if they have to shut down a server or something, that will already... lessen, I guess, some of the blow on that one because no one's paying for it.
Right. I was going to ask how... I know the Games for Windows program ended a long time ago, but like for games that exist both on PC and Xbox One, gold isn't a thing in the PC universe.
Correct.
Is it?
Correct. And you see where my thought process is going with this.
Yeah. 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 I was leading down the same path with the big unification, the big one ecosystem for multiple systems thing.
Yeah. And I don't want to repeat myself too bad, but Microsoft has these other perks. They could still have a gold program that gives you the free games. Microsoft has that very rich Netflix style thing that they're offering, the Game Pass or whatever it is separately.
Yep.
You know, they could start to move some of that into the gold and what have you. I'm just saying, as far as like paying to play online, Microsoft being a company to take that off the table would be a huge fucking move. And I don't want the Xbox, the Microsoft fans to get mad at me, you know, that I'm saying like, oh, Microsoft's got to make a move. But you guys know the reality is like they are getting lost amongst competing with PlayStation 4, competing against themselves on PC.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously Nintendo, I mean, Microsoft doesn't really compete with Nintendo, but Nintendo's just got so much of that gaming buzz right now.
Yep.
And hey, the phrase goes, you snooze, you lose.
Yeah. So but if Microsoft made a big fucking move. So I think that's another thing for E3. I think that Microsoft is going to do something to make our jaws drop. And even if it's not necessarily that, there's going to be like, Here's another classic standby prediction that you all think is fucking stupid, but I'm going to say it again. Minecraft 2.
I think it's going to be... Well, Halo 6 is probably where they're going to bring it.
I just think that is not jaw-dropping. Halo 6 is just... Oh, okay. Yeah.
Halo
6, Royale, Battle Royale. Yeah, okay, sure.
We got Minecraft 2.
What's that?
We got Minecraft 2 times 2 plus K.
Oh, Minecraft 4K. That's supposed to... Did that finally come out?
No.
No, I think the patch is like any day now, though. I think it's supposed to be around E3, so that's finally coming.
Microsoft 2 squared. 2 squared K.
Maybe they will announce that comes out, but, you know.
What would a Minecraft 2 be?
Kai Shudo says, Microsoft can make a huge move and just cancel the Xbox
One. For some reason, as you were starting your build-up, I thought that's actually what you were going to say, and it made no sense to me. How could that...
Microsoft's not going to cancel Xbox One.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
No, they're not ready to get out of living room business yet. I think this is a better prediction, what Tiger Claw says in chat. How about if Microsoft announces a new Battletoads? You know, they have been teasing that genitalia for I don't know how many years on the concept of a new Battletoads game. And we know, like, what was the thing where, like, Aaron Greenberg fucking went out there in a fucking Battletoads jacket? Or one of those Xbox executives went out there in a fucking Battletoads jacket. And it's like, announce it already, you fuck! he just won't do it. So maybe this will be the year.
Hey, we'll put it in Ready Player One. We'll go ahead and put it as a playable character. Wasn't it in Killer Instinct?
Fucking announce it, bitch. Like, just stop it. Stop teasing
They
me.
Have the collection that has it in there.
Maybe this is the year. This is the year for Battletoads, maybe.
We're bringing you Battletoads. Backwards compatibility.
I can't
they
fit
already
this,
have it.
I can't fit this cartridge into the CD drive. Why isn't this working?
All right. Microsoft's big thing now is the 4K gaming. That's where they're going to go all in. The 4K on the Xbox One X is superior to the 4K on the PlayStation 4 Pro, so I hope they just own it. And so maybe that'll be their thing, is they're just going to say, we've got this in 4K, we've got this in 4K. You know, developers, developers, developers in 4K.
Can I please have my Crackdown 3 already?
Bomber.
Can I please have
why
that?
Why 4K? Or why not do 5K?
That'll be, and then they'll have the PlayStation.
It'll
5K.
Only be it'll only be on 27-inch max.
Anyway, all right. SJ Hunter Matt says game retailers are pressuring them to make the game because they're tired of fielding calls about if they have Battletoads.
The choice of retailers is funny there, considering they kind of are the only retailer, at least brick and mortar wise, that exists anymore. So
they started a whole online campaign for tell your cable provider that you want blah 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 blah. It's tell your retail that you want Battletoads.
It's not going to do shit. But anyway, now we live in a Tweety, Facebooky era. That's the stuff that gets noticed. But anyway. All right, well, there's some E3 predictions for you. I mean, honestly, you know, it's one of those things where I just don't realize it until you see it.
I thought of it a little bit late, but more proof that the only one gets paid attention to are twits. Tweets.
Oh, twits. Yeah, I get it.
Twitter.
Nice twitties. All right, anyway. That's it for email?
I thought I pawed. Direct message. I got nothing.
You got nothing. Actually, if you ever want a good laugh, just Google image search like Tweety Bird graphics, because there are all these things that like wine box drinking moms will leave like images of thug Tweety Bird on each other's pages.
Hold my mochi. I'm going in.
Yep. No, Google image search it. Google image search like thug Tweety Bird or something like that, and you get all these like crazy results where you're like the Tweety Bird on Blingy and all this other stuff. It came up in one of our chats the other day, which I thought was hilarious. Anyway, going back to video gaming topic, that's it for emails. So participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you would like to send us an email in the future. Maybe you'd like to send us your favorite Tweety Bird meme. Let's get into some more news, though, before we get to phone calls. Loki.
All right. So let's talk about the current and brand new game consoles. In this case, we're talking about the Atari. So the Atari Retro console has launched their pre-order campaign, and apparently that's gone well for them because it crashed Indiegogo. It looks neat. I'm not exactly sure what this is, but I like the interface. It looks neat with all their Atari games. But we got more details, though, on what it is. So it's basically, it runs Linux, and it's on a Radeon R7 processor, a 32-gigabyte hard drive, 4 gigs of DDR4 RAM, and expandable storage. Plus, it connects to the internet, supports streaming video and online multiplayer games. And they even have voice control. So that's pretty neat. They haven't said too much about what games are going to be on there. But there's, you know, apparently the wood paneled model is going to go for $339. And they look like the controllers are similar to like a PlayStation controller. They said they have a cheaper option, I guess, that's the Onyx model with no controllers. That's $199. I'm hoping that this supports some sort of Bluetooth controllers, because otherwise that's kind of lame. How am I going to get some controllers for this thing?
Yeah, that's what it said at the end of the previous section.
So, cool.
Are you surprised this is doing so well, like in the pre-orders, though?
Especially after the whole, like, you know, Coleco Chameleon thing. I thought people would be kind of hesitant, especially with Atari. Like, how they're trying to kickstart, was it theme park or not Roller Coaster Tycoon or something like that? But it's like the shitty one from mobile.
I do feel like the audience that would be getting like a retro Atari is very different from those that were keeping an eye on Coleco Chameleon. Like, I just think it's like very different types of audiences, if you know what I mean. So anyway, by the way, before you finish, I have a very important follow up. So I sent Shane that blue PlayStation 4 thing, and he said I would own it if it was a pro system. So I didn't realize it's not a pro. And he said it was announced earlier this week, and I'm mad it's not a pro system because it's beautiful. So I was right that he would be into that blue system, but it's not a pro.
You know, by the way, like, tell Shane I have coconut pokey for him.
Okay. There's a, what is it, like D-Brand or like other skinning sites that, well, you can get like a blue skin for your pro.
That's true. I'm sure. I think he has some type of blue PlayStation 4 already anyway, but just not that.
I do need to get a pro. I've been thinking about getting a pro and a 4K TV at some point.
Yeah,
I just don't know how much better that's going to really make like VR games and stuff. I don't think it's marginally better.
Marginally. But. Well, and then the whole thing, you know, that Bobby's saying about the 4K, now that he has this whole state-of-the-art theater thing he set up, like, he notices very much that Microsoft Xbox One X does the 4K.
Yeah, I don't have an Xbox One yet.
But we knew that. I mean, like we kind of knew that. Like, even though that PlayStation has 4K support, like, it still doesn't have the technology and the chips in it to really do beefy 4K games, you know?
Yeah, and that would be why I'd want Xbox One X. However, with that being said, I don't really need an Xbox One X because I have a PC that can run Microsoft games. And so that's the problem that they run into, is because they make all their games on PC. And it's like, why the hell am I going to buy a system for cross-platform games that I have a system that can play them on already?
Because it's getting hard to get a graphics card that does 4K because of fucking Bitcoin.
Well, I don't have a 4K monitor, so I don't give a shit. But like, I don't have a 4K TV either.
I have a 4K monitor. And do you know how hard it is to get a video card right now because of fucking Bitcoin? I feel like the only way I'm going to be able to get a graphics card is to pay for it with Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Anyway. Moving on. One thing I could play if I want to. Actually, I thought about picking it up was the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection because, you know, it does look like a pretty sweet collection of games. And, of course, that's available on the Switch. And I think it's on other systems, too. I would obviously get something like that on the Switch. Yes, it is on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One as well as PC. So the collection – pardon me, guys. The collection, it came out here in the States. It's been delayed in Japan. They have delayed it in Japan to fall of 2018. But this might actually be a good thing because you may or may not recall the folks in Japan weren't super happy about this collection because – it's all English titles, voicing, and text, meaning the Japanese versions were just kind of thrown away. Well, in a message posted on the official website, the producer of Street Fighter, Tomoaki Aino, shared that they are going to do a fall 2018 release for the Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection International and said, "We apologize for the trouble this may have caused to those of you who were looking forward to it, but please wait a little longer for additional new information besides the release period." So it sounds like they are going to be making some changes to potentially maybe let them at least flip over to Japanese voice acting and all that stuff, and where, you know, Vega will be M. Bison and Sagat will be, you know, or all those different changes that they made in the game. So
correcting that triangle of madness.
All that stuff. So, because, I mean, that would be kind of messed up.
But Claw, Dictator, Boxer.
There would be some people, I bet, that would actually be really into being able to get, like, some of the Japanese versions here in the States, you know? So I kind of hope that if they do fix it, they still have some type of, like, DLC or patch or something where our versions can get the Japanese stuff. I think that would be cool, but I'm not going to hold my breath, but I just think it would be cool. Anyway, Needle Crash in chat at live.vognetwork.com says, collection isn't bad. It's pretty good, but the online is iffy at times. Japan needs to get their versions of Street Fighter Zero. So, all right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, what do you have for us coming up next?
Well, you know, people have been stupid about Battlefield 5 because it involves, you know, women in a World War II setting. And basically, DICE basically said, and I'm going to quote here. First of all, let me be clear about one thing. Player choice and female playable characters are here to stay. And then he went on to explain that it is important to be able to play as a character you identify with for immersion and to customize it the way that you want to. And I like this quote, too. We want Battlefield 5 to represent all of those who are part of the greatest drama in human history and give players a choice to choose and customize the characters they play with. And now, here's a history lesson, little boys who didn't pay attention in fucking school. Did you know that there was an entire battalion of female snipers out of Russia? Did you know that one of the highest kill counts for female snipers was a Czech sniper? Did you also know that there were a number of women working for the resistance in Germany in occupied areas that were releasing propaganda, hiding children, helping to get people out who were non-combatant civilians? And there were plenty of fucking people enlisted in the armed services who were women who performed, you know, medic functions, who drove tanks, who drove delivery, and who, whether or not it was documented, did participate in combat. So get off of your sexist little, I don't know shit about history, you know, ass hattery. Fucking read a book and shut up.
Also, it's a fucking video game. And like a lot of the stuff you're doing in the video game didn't really fucking happen in history. So you know what? If we want to, you know, maybe bend some things a little bit to be more inclusive so women can play women in the game, does it really like change anything about Battlefield?
But they all should know their fucking history.
Yeah. Well, that is true, too. I'm not denying anything that you're saying there.
Why? You're saying Battlefield's not realistic? You mean I can't jump out of a plane, snipe somebody with a rocket launcher, and then land back in that plane again take off?
But women!
That's where I draw the line.
Goes to show. We still have a long way to go.
Wow, Rageinator is actually like making great points tonight. I don't know what the fuck they put in the water over there, but Rageinator says, "Wah, I want realism in my games. Gandhi sets off nukes," which is a popular Civilization joke. If you know, ever played Civilization, it's like Gandhi's the most aggressive leader in the game because of a bug in the original Civilization.
Dungeon Buster, historically accurate, fixes tank in seconds.
So anyway,
I just think that because the big point that these assholes are trying to make is from a historical standpoint, when history disproves them already. Sorry, I make it a point to study history because, you know, they say those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. We're fucking reliving it right now. But you pay attention to it. You learn from it. And if you knew anything about fucking history, first of all, you probably wouldn't be playing Battlefield. But second of all, you would know how fucking weak your argument is. I mean, if you're this poorly prepared for a battle of wits, just don't participate.
Here's, you know what, Jamie, I'm a big fan of giving people a taste of their own medicine. Mm-hmm. So here's what I think you should do. Let's say I'm a dude and I'm going to tell you, hey, Jamie, women don't belong in Battlefield. This is what I think your response should be. You ready? Shut up and go make me a sandwich. All right. So, Jamie, women shouldn't be in Battlefield.
Shut up and go cook me a pizza.
There you go.
I have standards.
I think, you know what? I think you just give it right back to them the same way it's been, you know.
No, I would literally be, shut up and go back to fucking school.
And while you're there, get a pizza.
And while you're there, bring me a bread tangle of pizza. Okay, do we remember our Strong Bad email? Teen Girl Squad.
All right. Speaking of Teen Girl Squad, Loki, what's next in the news?
Loki is so-and-so.
Well, this isn't Team Girl Squad, but it's Team Sonic Racing. So this was yet another game that was leaked by Walmart and now confirmed by Sega. And they had a teaser trailer that showed nothing except for Sonic and his friends racing. So I guess we'll look forward to that coming out. It makes sense that they have Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed as your Xbox game of the month. So
it does make sense. And actually, that was a good racing game. Remember, that was the one with Danica Patrick as one of the characters. Like, yes, it was Sonic and all his shitty friends.
And Danica Patrick.
It's like,
and,
okay.
And they also had, was it the Sega Outrun cabinet?
They, well, yeah, and they had like Ooh La La. They had a bunch of like Sega characters that were really, you know, infamous in there.
But this
they,
is only Sonic Team Racing because Sonic... He has enough shitty friends to make a whole racing team.
Yeah, I really hope that even if it's like Team Sonic Racing, sure, maybe it starts with Sonic and his, you know, Knuckles and all the his shitty buddies.
Can we have can we make canon like, you know, how they have Sonic and, you know, all that stuff? You know, they don't have the Wario version of Sonic. Can we have Sonic as the Wario version of Sonic?
Sonic and Donkey King? Yeah, Sonic. No, why not? Why not? Court Ann takes over.
I mean, Sonic is, it's pretty, you know, they're pretty meme-y on their Twitter. So
I forgot about that. Bobby Blackwell says, I recently replayed Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. Wreck-It Ralph was in there, too. I totally forgot about that. That is totally true.
It was?
Yeah. Wreck-It Ralph was like one of the things you unlocked.
Huh.
Yeah. I remember that now. So anyway, everybody super Sonic Racing.
I would totally love it.
That's just you and under Matt said super Sonic.
Hey, I still fucking love Sonic R, so whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, lastly but not leastly, there is a PlayStation E3 experience coming to theaters near you all over again on Monday, June 11th. So, yeah, you can go to a nearby theater near you. Tickets will be up this Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. You have to be committed to show up 30 minutes before showtime. If you're not there 30 minutes before showtime, they're going to give your fucking seat away. So you better look out for that. So anyway, if you live in Northern California near us and you want to go to one of these events, too fucking bad. There aren't any here, not even in the Bay Area this year. The only events in California, there are two of them in Los Angeles, one at Century City and one at LA Live. Here's what cracks me the fuck up about that. Do you know where LA Live is?
It's next door to
E3. It's next door to the fucking convention center. So, like, I mean, I realize the press conference is at a different theater in a different part of LA, but it's not that far away.
I'm sorry, but your press conference is in a different theater.
Good Lord. So they have one literally next door to E3, but they don't have one up here in Northern California. I don't understand why it's so limited. Maybe they're paying for the space. I don't know what it is.
Well, they have to pay for the theaters.
I guess they're renting all these theaters. I thought they just did it through Fathom Events or one of those things that kind of already has.
I don't know. I mean, what do you really get from this stuff? Like a free like Avatar or some bullshit? Like, what are we really getting? I mean, I don't know.
There's several
just watch it on TV.
There's several people in chat suggesting that they put it in VR. Kaijudo saying they need to put the Sony press conference in VR, cheap asses. And as Jonah and Matt says, they should actually do it in VR. Bobby Blackwolf, talking about his new basement home theater, says, curiously, there's no listing for my home theater for this experience. Well, Bobby, do you really want to have like 30 strangers showing up at your house? So maybe it's best that you have a private viewing for you and the missus and maybe any buddies that you invite over to watch it. In your 4K vision, which can you watch the press conference? I know you can watch Microsoft's thing in 4K because Mixer does 4K, but does
Twitch?
I think actually.
Well, there's
YouTube.
A Sony Event Viewer. They have that. I would assume that works.
And I don't know if that does 4K.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
All they're right. Losers. Then.
Oh, Bobby says I only have 6 seats in the theater. Well, you could. That's you, the missus, and two other
couples.
Everyone's
gonna have to grab some floor.
Yeah, yeah. Get some pillows or something like that.
Lawn right. Chairs.
Anyway, I'll be watching it on my couch. That's how I'll be watching it. Actually, I like to do ironic things. And what I mean by that is that I will watch the Sony press conference on my Xbox, and then I'll watch the Microsoft press conference on my PlayStation 4. And there's usually ways to do this. So, actually, no, I kind of lied, because the Microsoft one I'll probably watch on my computer. Because on my 4K monitor, I could actually watch it in 4K. So that with Mixer, so that would be kind of nice. So we'll see. Bobby Blackwell says Twitch can do 4K, most just don't, which makes sense because like I don't have the bandwidth to stream 4K. But Sony probably has the bandwidth to stream 4K, so they might do it. We'll see.
You may have the bandwidth, but you don't have the bandwidth cap for that.
The Skype line is open. If you'd like to give us a call and talk about anything we've talked about tonight or maybe something else, you can give us a call at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word, on Skype. while we continue to debate Twitch and 4K and all that stuff, I was going to say, you know, that Twitch app that's on the PlayStation 4, it would be really nice if that would fucking come out for Xbox One already, because that Twitch app is so dated on Xbox One now. Like, and also, like, when did they stop doing communities highlights on Twitch? That's my favorite part of using Twitch on my desktop, is that you can actually look at communities. So I can look at, say, the small streamer community or the LGBT community or Twitch Unity, which was a big thing they were pushing. Why can't I get that on the phone app or the Xbox One app? And I forgot to look and see if it's in the PlayStation 4 app, because the PlayStation 4 is currently in my studio, so I can hopefully do more streaming from it at some point. Yeah, SJ100 Matt says, oh, God, that Twitch app and Xbox One sucks. It used to be the best one, like when it was first out, because it was the only one that would let you force the source formatting, and it's how you would ensure that you get a high-definition feed coming to your TV. So anyway, Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Yeah, She-Hulk, I think you're onto something. Xbox only likes Mixer now. They hate Twitch. No updates for Twitch on Xbox One. I think that might be partially true. I mean, obviously Microsoft is going to prefer Mixer, but I think they would be dumb to just ignore that Twitch is a thing.
But
you
it's
know what a, I mean?
It's not Microsoft that's doing those updates, so it's Twitch that that's too. Making the updates.
All right, well, we're going to take a call. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Raginator.
Hey, Raginator, what's on your mind tonight?
Not a whole lot. Actually, when Dark Soccer did the classic game of the week, that gave me an idea for my call tonight.
Okay.
I should say indirectly. She mentioned college and all that, and that got me thinking back to my college days. Not to get into too much detail, because it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense unless you're local. But I went to Erie Community College North Campus, it's one of those multi-building campuses, and in the student center they had what they called the coffee house. Think, to give you a little bit of an analogy, think, well, if you ever saw 90210 back in the day, think the Peach Pit.
Okay.
It's kind of like that stuff. And they, at least there,
or
they
the
had
Max the, from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, that too. Okay. But, they served food there, obviously. And they also had, one of those I think it was called the hockey games with the handles on it. You slide the players around, build your table.
Hockey.
And
so,
plus they hit.
Yeah, so a lot of us had these types of things in our town. So what do you want to know about it?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, those of you in the studio and anyone in chat, those of you that went to college, did your campuses have arcade machines on campus, and did you play them, and which games did you play and particularly enjoy there?
Did your college campus have arcades of some sort, and what did you play there? Dar Sakura?
Well, I talked about the one at Solomon's that was right across from the campus. Mm-hmm. So University of South Alabama at the time didn't have it. But they had like Mortal Kombat 2. They had another Mortal Kombat 2 that was one of the early betas. They had an NBA Jam. They had a couple of pins, like just some of those mid-90s ones, not Adam's Family. They had a Theater of Magic. They had a few of the other ones. They had just a bunch of fighting games, really. And then, of course, I worked at an arcade. But, yeah, my college campus didn't really have anything like that. And then out here, when I was going to school, there was a DDR machine at Sac State. Not at Sac State, but at American River College.
Oh, right. That's right.
Yeah. That got gotten rid of really quick. And I've been to other colleges that have had them. South Alabama, the other thing we had the little arcade in my game room where I worked. So we had the World Cup Soccer Pinball. We had Killer Instinct. I don't know why I didn't think about it, because I fucking worked there. I was trying to put it out of my head. We had a cyber sled. We had Darkstalkers. We had King of Fighters 94. They switched out for 95. We had Street Fighter Alpha. We had a Fatal Fury Special. all kinds of stuff.
You know, sadly, I went to school a couple hours north of here in a town called Chico, which is a little bit north of the Sacramento area. And I went to college there, and I don't really remember there being – there wasn't an arcade on campus. I would have known about that. There was a student union, but I don't remember there being any, like, video games there like that. And to be honest, I don't even remember, like, maybe some of the bars would have an incidental pinball machine here and there, but not a lot of arcade games. So I was kind of robbed of all that. I remember there was a place called Ray's that was a video store, so to kind of date it a little bit, and they had an arcade. That was the place you would go to, like, play arcade games and pinball stuff, but it was on, like, the other side of town, so we rarely got to go over there. And there was also Chuck E. Cheese, which we would, you know, that was before the kids really took it over, and you could still find, like, regular arcade games there. So we would go there sometimes. But that was really, you know, I wasn't as big of a gamer in my college years because there was just a lot of other stuff I was going through. But I also remember that, like, in the dorms, the fact that I had a Super Nintendo and Mario Kart was a huge deal. Like, the dudes were coming over to play Mario Kart, like, all the time. And so that was, like, a big deal. And then the guys upstairs got a Nintendo 64, and you can imagine how that went. Then they got Mario Kart, and it was just, like, nonstop, you know. And then myself and my best friend in the dorms who lived next door to me, he was in the room next door, we would do dial-up Duke Nukem 3D matches. And the other guys would get into it. Like, they would walk over and see where I'm at, and then they'd go run over to his room and say, okay, Rob's over in this part waiting for you or whatever. And they would do the same thing. Like, they would, like, try to ruin it all the time. But we had a good time doing that. So that was fun. So that was what I remember with gaming in college. But I do remember also, before I went off to Chico, I did a few things at the community college, like, one summer. I think I did, like, a summer program during my junior year or something like that. And I do remember that the cafeteria there had a very small arcade, and the one that I would always play, Altered Beast, was the game that I loved to play.
Rise from your grave.
It totally looked like garbage on the Genesis compared to the arcade version, but luckily you can play that arcade version now on that PlayStation 3 collection they did. Yeah, anyway. Loki, I don't know, did you do any, like, arcade gaming in college around your community?
No.
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, no, I did a lot of arcade gaming when I was younger.
Yeah.
We'd go to different arcades to play different games because we'd have, like, the 7-Eleven would have the Street Fighter 2, and then there was a diner that had Captain Commando, and then there was a Rico's Pizza that had a bunch of other games.
Oh, yeah, Rico's had.
And there was a local movie theater that had some more games. So we just, like, kind of ride between those and stuff and play different games. We spent a lot of money playing Captain Commando a lot. But not so much when I was in college, because college is, that was, like, Golfland time.
Oh, that was right when we all kind of first met, really.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. It's like, you know.
That's yes, true.
There was many arcades.
That's true. There was a lot. I appreciate the trip down memory lane.
Sorry, I just got a quick question. Now, since I'm not from California, is it safe to say that Golfland is basically your area's equivalent to, like, putt-putt golf? Or am I way off?
I don't know putt-putt golf, but I assume you do.
It's the same thing. I grew up in Alabama.
Yeah.
So we had putt-putt with the big arcade in there. You know, we also had a place called Mount Asia that was actually, like, a multi-level putt-putt plus arcade. I mean, that was where I played. What was that? Trog. You remember
Yeah, I do remember
back
Trog.
In the day.
Yeah.
And then, of course, here, Dan said, you know, Dan would tell me about the Mineshaft all the time.
Oh, I fucking love the Mineshaft. That place is the
we
bomb.
Drove by there on the way out today.
Oh, yeah. It's just like an RV. Like, or it's RVs. Like an abandoned RV place.
But all the little buildings and stuff and the underground is still there.
All the all the structure is still there if somebody wanted to buy it and turn it into a mini golf place again. But I always refer to the movie The Karate Kid. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a scene in the movie when they go on a date and they go to, like, this big mini golf place and there's arcade machines and stuff. And, like, I remember they're playing the skeet shooting game and he jumps out, like, don't shoot, and she shoots him, you know, and all that stuff. So I figure, like, every big city has a place like that. And so that's Golfland for us, and what I'm assuming is putt-putt golf for you guys and all that stuff. So, all right. Well, Rage Nader, I'm going to let you go to see if we get any more calls. But thanks for the call, buddy.
Yep. Have a nice night.
Bye-bye. You too. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. I'll keep it open just a couple more minutes, but not too much longer since we are past 9 o'clock. And I do want to get to a live stream here in a little bit without keeping Bobby up too late. He's a night owl anyway, but still. Do you have any last-minute stories you want to get to?
Yes, I do have one.
While we see if any calls come in. Yeah.
So Guitar Hero Live, the GH TV service, is closing down in December.
Wow. Okay, that
December
is big news.
December 1st, it'll be shutting down.
Did this just come in?
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty okay. recent. So. Wow. Yeah, so the ability to purchase more hero coins ended a few days, I guess, on June 1st. And it says the iOS version of Live, which is gone from the App Store now, and they, you know, players will no longer be able to use their banked hero cash and extra items until, or they'll be able to use those until the service shuts down. So that's one thing you have to remember with all these games that push them, you know, as being live services like Call of Duty, Black Ops 3 or 4. You know, they eventually shut these live services down when they become not popular anymore.
That's true. I kind of forgot that that was a thing, to be honest, until you said it shutting down. I was like,
I've seen these, like, they have Guitar Hero Live, like, you can get them for, like, $10, $15 now at, like, the stores. But the ones I've seen have been, like, for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. And I'm like, I don't really want to buy. And that's the version with the guitar, too, by the
way. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't see any other calls coming in, so I think we are going to go ahead and wrap up for the night. So I am going to start to go around and get everybody's final thoughts, and thank everybody for being here tonight. As I always say at the end of every show, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, be sure to tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air, then we can't air them. So, again, a nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes also goes an awful long way. So if you just let us know, like, where you heard this podcast from or whatever, then, you know, help us out. Leave a nice review. So I would thank Jason for being here tonight, but he fell asleep. And I've tried to tap him to wake him up. He's not responding. So he's breathing. So don't worry. He's fine.
I can hear.
Yeah, I hear tiny little snoring. So I know he's okay. But
got a feather?
Well, keep in mind, here's the thing. He's been on the, he was on the road, like, and he told me, he's like, I think in the past 48 hours, I've slept for like 5.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to give him too hard of a time or make fun of, you know, the fact that our show is that boring.
Fall.
Yeah, I think he's just, yeah, I don't want his computer to fall either. So if he stays asleep, I'll close that for
that
him.
That would totally void the warranty.
But I will go ahead and thank him for being here anyway, even though he fell asleep. I tried to wake him up. So I'll go around and give everybody else's final thought. Dark Sakura, since you have the mic, do you have a final thought tonight?
People need to not voice their opinions when no one has asked them for it. Like the guy who looked completely homeless living in his truck, who said that he thought that my Fiat was garbage. I told him, well, at least it serves a purpose, unlike you.
All right. Ouch. My final thought is I'm going to miss my short work week this week with my 4-day work week. It was awesome, but it's back to 5 days. I have a very busy work week next week, but Pride will be next weekend. It looks like I'll probably end up going to that. And then Chicago's just 3 weeks away. I'm excited for June. It'll be fun. Last but not least, Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I would like to work on games some more. Like actually working against, I'm trying to get an office, like a desk, because it's hard to work on a laptop, just one screen, everything. I need like 3 screens or 4 screens, probably 3 screens. I'm trying to get a desk set up with 2 24-inch monitors on there as well. So that'll help with coding and everything.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for another week here at Orange Lounge Radio. Next week will be a little bit of a crazy show, but I hope you'll join us anyway, because it's going to be live right in the midst of E3 Gamer Christmas. It starts next week, and we'll see you here to be a part of it live at Orange Lounge Radio and the Voice Geeks Network. Have a great week, everybody, and don't be jerks online to people. Stop it.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.